honorable members, our delegation from the department, delegation from the media people, and a very good morning to you all. Wherever you want to sit, yeah, we are free to do so. Do you want to come and sit here? No, that is what I'm asking. Do you want to come and sit closer to me? Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Today, honorable members, we're going to have two important presentations. I'm saying they are very important because I think they talk to what exactly we are doing in this department of ours in the sector of education. We're going to look at IQMS, how is it being revised, knowing exactly where we are coming from, why do we need such an instrument for the accountability of our teachers down there, and for us to know exactly what is happening, because we can't have any system that is not monitored, that is not evaluated, that is not being measured as to say how is it going through. It's worse when you look at IQMS, honorable members, we know the history where we're coming from. There have been so many changes, but we are trying in all means to make sure that we do get the accountability of our teachers down there in class to see exactly what it is that we're doing. When you look back, you remember the instruments, who does, you remember books, school evaluation. There's so much that we can talk about, of which it all emerged now. We are talking of IQMS, but now, again, we are reviewing the instruments again, we are talking of QMS. So I think today we are getting an opportunity to hear what is it, where are we heading to, and what is it that you are doing is different in this time, and what are the objectives of these revised instruments. But we know the objective is that we need to have our teachers being accountable, we need to have everyone in the sector being able to be accountable, knowing very well that we want to deliver the quality education that we are supposed to be delivering to our country, to our learners. At the same time, we have coupled that with the presentation from SAIDS on CPTD, because it's always a question. IQMS is there, we know they identify their weaknesses and the areas there where they need to, the teachers need to be developed. And we know today we want to know exactly how are we planning to develop our teachers. We know what is happening, we know what is in the media on the quality of teachers most of the time, in as much as we acknowledge the good work that they do, but we know that there is this end of development that needs to be carried out, and the SAIDS is here to couple that, as to say what comes from IQMS, the weaknesses that are there, what is it that CPTD can do to make sure that our teachers are well developed. So that is why I say today one of the important days where I think we are going to engage well, and at the end we are going to come up very clear as to say how we're going to take our sector forward when it comes to those two areas that we'll be engaging on. I know as today especially there are people that are new. We always introduce each other. Maybe for a month or two we'll be done with the introductions, but I think we still need to stick to that so that whoever comes, like people from SAIDS today, even from the department, we do have members that we don't, they don't know them, and you don't know us as members, so it would be wise if we undergo that process again of introducing ourselves. But before we do that, are there any apologies, Mr. Brown, for today's meeting?
Thank you, Chief Minister. Apology I can receive from Honorable Mashabela Walden
to the meeting this morning. Thank you. Apology noted. Then, honorable members, I would just love you to quickly introduce yourselves, then I will give a hand over to the two delegations that you have to do the same. Very briefly, I'm Nomalungelo Lukina, I'm the chairperson of the portfolio committee. Thank you, honorable members.
Thank you, chairperson. My name is Alfred Botane, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Samalam Kosa, member of the committee.
Chimachikoza, a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Wilson Person, member of the committee.
Member Mogoto Nsinga, member of this committee.
Good morning, my name is Daniel Lovemore, also a member of this committee.
Morning, Eric Mgoni, member of this committee.
Good morning, I am Salomo Viga, the alternate.
Morning, I'm Nokole Jumanji, again, the member of this committee.
Morning, David Atanagar, member of the committee.
Good morning, Sonia Boxer, member of the committee.
A very good morning. My name is Tabitha Chet, I could be advisor for the SLED committee.
Khuyamore, I'm Sir William Azanzi from PMG.
I doubt, honorable, if ever there is anyone who helps you.
Okay. Okay, can you hear me now? Oh, okay. I'm Sarwile Mazanza from PMG.
I'm Hopalan Sulebaba from Equal Education.
I'm Randall van den Jeffer, the PLO of the Minister.
Kenyani
Baloyi, Senior Research of the Committee.
Habib Karimullah from Department of Basic Education.
Good morning, Reg, CEO of SAFE.
Good morning, Honorable Chairman of the Members. I'm Devine Carlister, DGSTV.
Good morning, Honorable Members. Enoch Kabutati, Acting Chief Director, Education Ministry of Development.
Good morning, Honorable Members. Ella Mokhalani from SAFE, Professional Development and Research Senior Manager.
Good morning, I'm Dennis Bandi, Content Advisor for the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, Members and Keith Llewellyn Brown, Committee Secretary for the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you so much. I just saw you start. There is Mr. Happy. And what is his position?
Acting director in the branch for performance management.
Now, I propose that you start the presentation for by the Department of Basic Education on IPLS. Can I hand over to you, Mr.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to make a few introductory comments, but before I do that, also just to formally tender the apology of the Minister as well as the Acting DG, who have both submitted letters of apology, which I'll hand over to the Secretariat. I also just want to reach a deal with our colleagues from SAFE that we'll be sharing the presentation. We'll be dealing with the first one, as you have requested on the IQNS, and then we'll then go into the shared presentation. I don't want to delay the meeting with any further introductory comments. I think the presentation is clearly necessary once in our sufficient time for engagement. But I do know that Mr. Breedstone indicated that he wanted to make some introductory comments.
Just to thank you very much again for inviting SAFE here and for us to be part of the joint presentation. Ms. Mogalani is the senior manager and the expert in professional development at CPGD. She will be making the main presentation, and I would be adding a few comments after her presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. The presentation on the integrated quality management system, it will cover those aspects there, the background, the performance management cycle, the purpose of IQMS, the findings, the developmental programs, and the recommendations on the way forward. Now, just in terms of background, to indicate that the integrated quality management system is a performance management system that is used to evaluate school-based educators, the individual school-based educators. That to indicate that we've got two systems that are applicable at school level. Firstly, we have the policy on whole school evaluation. Now, the policy on whole school evaluation looks at the evaluation of the entire school. But then your integrated quality management system looks at the evaluation of the individual educator within the school. And it also informs the evaluation of, in terms of your whole school evaluation. Now the IQMS, as it is known, it is a collective agreement that has been entered with the union since 2010, and it has been in force, or it has been implemented since then. Now, when the NDP came into being, one of the issues that was emphasized in the National Development Plan was the issue of ensuring that there is proper accountability within our schooling systems from all levels, at school level, at district level, at provincial level, as well as at the national level. And therefore, the IQMS as a performance management system is also there to take forward the objective of the NDP of ensuring that there's proper levels of accountability within our education system. And furthermore, it emphasizes on ensuring that the focus is on ensuring that there is an improvement in terms of our learning outcomes, in terms of schools and districts. Now, as we know that the IQMS itself focuses on various aspects of the schooling system, and one of the areas that are being evaluated is the quality of teaching and learning and what is happening actually in the classroom. Furthermore, the quality of how curriculum is being delivered in the school. So because of its focus on those elements, it is relevant therefore to ensure that if there are weaknesses in those specific areas, they need to be identified in the system, and then proper interventions should then be undertaken to ensure that there is improvement. Then we also have the medium-term strategic framework, which also emphasizes on the truth, the issue of ensuring that there's proper accountability and the issue of ensuring that there is proper planning that happens within the system. And clearly these four policies are aligned, and the emphasis is on ensuring that what happens inside the classroom, which is the core responsibility of the education system, is actually improved. Now, as I've indicated, that the IQMS is a collective agreement that has been implemented since 2003. Now, the Department of Basic Education at national level has got an overall responsibility to ensure that the system itself is implemented successfully. And if there are any weaknesses in terms of the implementation of the system, they need to be identified and addressed. And we do this jointly with our provincial education department, who are actually responsible for the evaluation of these indicators. Now, as part of our monitoring as the Department of Basic Education, we put systems in place to make sure that there is proper monitoring. And maybe I should talk briefly about some of the systems that we have put in place as a way of trying to strengthen the implementation of the system. To indicate indicate that we do engage on a quarterly basis with our provincial counterpart through the relevant HEDCOM subcommittee, where we get reports from them in terms of the progress that is being made on the implementation. But then in 2008, there was a decision that was taken by the department to employ what we call external IQMS moderators. And their responsibility was to make sure that we visit schools. And this decision was informed by a number of factors. One of them is that we found ourselves in a situation where there were contestations on an ongoing basis around what provinces were reporting as progress on the implementation of the IQMS. At that time, there were lots of complaints from teachers who indicated that they were not trained on the system. As a result, the lack of training, or in some instances, the poor training that was received, was actually hampering the successful implementation of the system. So we appointed external moderators so that they can then help us to visit schools to identify what problems are being experienced, and so that they can also be able to provide on-site support so that the implementation of the system can happen. So we are also receiving reports on a daily basis from this cohort of people. There were 80 posts that were created on the DP establishment, and they were allocated proportionally to provinces based on the size of these provinces. So there are two sets of reports that we are receiving as the DPE, one from the provincial colleagues and the other one from these individuals that we get referred to. And it is those two sets of reports that are able to constantly inform us on what is happening regarding the IQMS. Now, we analyze these reports, and on an annual basis, the DBE publishes an annual report that gives status on where IQMS is in terms of implementation. Now, this diagram is just trying to show which is a part of what the objectives of the IQMS is, to say that the focus should be on ensuring that there's proper planning for performance, that the people are able to set clear targets, because it is against those targets that the evaluation will actually happen. And the second level is around performance maintenance, so that there can be ongoing monitoring of performance, and areas where there are challenges, then there can be proper interventions and coaching, mentoring, and support. Then the issue around performance review, of course, review of performance on an ongoing basis is an important principle around performance management, because it helps you to identify problems early and then to be able to intervene when they are on time. And the final area, of course, it will be the rewarding of performance. Up to now, we only have one form of reward, which is your annual pay progression or the notch increase that is being paid at the end of the cycle. But previously, we also had what we call the accelerated pay progression, but that was discontinued in 2009. Now, those are some of the purposes that we have identified. IQMS, when it was was to identify areas in need of development. So it was supposed to be a developmental instrument. Secondly, it was supposed to be used as an instrument to deal with underperformance. So in as much as on one hand, there was an obligation to identify weaknesses, put in measures to deal with them, but the intention was that if at any stage there was a conclusion to the effect that people are not responding positively to the development that is being given to them, then other measures would kick in. So it was also supposed to serve that purpose. And then finally, it was supposed to be used as a basis for rewarding a good performance. So in as much as on one hand, it provided mechanism to deal with underperformance, but where there is good performance, then should be able to reward it accordingly. Okay, and I have talked about the issue of accountability. Now, the next part of the presentation basically focuses on the work that has been done by the moderators, and this information is extracted for the annual report that was compiled for the 2013-2014 financial year. And in terms of this report, it shows that external moderators during this period visited a total of 9,330 schools to monitor IQMS implementation. And then also there were about 13,255 schools that were visited across 55 districts from June 2013 to March 2014. Now, just to explain that during the past year, our moderators were requested to serve two purposes. One was to collect information that was required for intervention in terms of the National Education Collaboration Framework, in terms of profiling the schools that were to be visited by the NECG. But then secondly, in the same schools, they had then at the same time to monitor the level of implementation of the IQM. So they served actually that dual role. Now, during the visit, as indicated, that the moderators, when they visit, it's not only about collecting information, but it's about analyzing the situation at the school and providing support where it is needed. So that's what their core responsibility is. Now, you will see that other than the 13,000 schools that were visited by the external moderators, the provincial coordinators of IQMS also visited about 5,800 schools. Now, how the process works is that when the moderator visits a school, there is an instrument that they use. Now, after they done the analysis at school level, they compile a report with recommendations, and this report is left at a school. Now, what is expected is that the provincial coordinators, when they visit their schools, they use this report as a basis and ensure that the recommendations that are contained in the report by the moderator are acted upon. And so the 5,800 were actually the follow-up visits that were conducted by the provincial colleagues so that they could intervene also on the observations of these moderators. Now, that table is just a showing, and this is a part of what is contained in the instrument that they use. Now, just to indicate that this instrument looks at various aspects education is a component of improvement, but there are other components relating to a curriculum implementation, the quality of management at the school. These are all the different components. Now, you will see that in terms of this IQMS, the elements that are being assessed there is the functionality of the SMT, the quality of support provided by the SMT, quality of classroom observation, signing of documents, quality of implementation of your personal growth plan and school improvement plan, the issues around filing, and whether this system is actually being used as an ongoing process. So these are basically some of the compliance mechanisms that are being assessed by a moderator when they arrive at the school. And we use that color coding to actually reflect on, the level of implementation based on the evidence that is seen at the school. And you will see that in terms of that, the performance ranges from meeting minimum requirements to good in a number of provinces. Now, as I indicated earlier, that one of the objectives of the IQMS is to ensure that needs are identified and developmental programs are implemented. Now, there are two instruments which are used to capture the developmental needs. You have the personal growth plan. The personal growth plan is the plan that the individual themselves have to feel. So it's based on the self-reflection by an educator to say, what is my own perception about how I perform? And based on that perception, what are the developmental needs that I need? So the educator then completes that personal growth plan. Now, it is expected that the head of the department must be able to work with the educator to ensure that the needs that are reflected in the personal growth plan are implemented. Now, we also have other instruments like the school improvement plan that is also completed, emanating from the IQMS process, and the school improvement plan is used mainly by the when it comes to support the school, because support must be evidence-based. So when the district comes and provides support, they need to look at the school improvement plan, they need to look at other aspects in terms of the policy of whole school evaluation, so that when they provide support, it should be based on the needs identified into this. And then ultimately, a province will have to compile those issues that cannot be addressed through the school improvement plan are then referred to the province. And at provincial level, what the provinces compile is the workplace skills plan. And the workplace skills plan is the one that is submitted to the ETDP CETA, whereby the skills rating is actually used now for broader provincial interventions. And I will talk about this process when we do the CPT. Okay, now this table is trying to show some of the development that has happened. Now, just to be clear that the development that we are referring to here, the development or workshops on IQMS implementation, which means that it's on the instrument, it's not on the content, like your subject content, is as you get new educators appointed into the system, other people being promoted, then there needs to be some kind of orientation as well.
on.
But I must
the system is still experiencing huge challenges. And the challenges cannot necessarily be only about the instrument itself. Because if you look at the IQMS, it makes a number of assumptions. And one of the fundamental assumptions it makes is that teachers are professional, they are matured, and they will be honest in terms of identifying their areas in need of development. But our experience over the years is that despite the investment that we've done as a system to improve IQMS implementation, that has not necessarily translated into improvement of learning outcomes. It didn't necessarily translate into that in all instances. In some instances, there are signs that it is making an impact. And one of the reasons that we have identified is because of the fact that the quality of your personal growth plans and school improvement plans is a problem, because in as much as people's needs are reflected there, but whether those needs are relevant to assist them to improve classroom practice, that's the big question. Because despite the fact that we've had follow-throughs on those documents, but clearly it shows that we're still not dealing with the issues that we think are really a problem when it comes to. So that's the first problem. So it's about behavior. Now, and we know that when IQMS is implemented, there are structures that are responsible. The staff development teams is one of the structure, your developmental support group. Now, these structures in a number of instances are problematic because, for an example, when it comes to the school development teams, they are supposed to ensure that there's planning, they are supposed to... Now, it's a structure. And as we know, accountability cannot lie in a structure. Accountability must lie in an individual who, under normal circumstances, must be the principal of the school. Now, principals are kind of firm in terms of saying that you cannot hold us accountable if things don't happen, because my power as a principal is diluted in this democratic. Because these structures, in some instances, you find that the chairperson of the structure, a principal in terms of the collective agreement, is just a member of the structure. So there's no responsibility put to the principal to make sure that we have to ensure that the process is in the schools. So the way the instrument is structured, it makes it difficult for us as the department to hold principals responsible for the non-implementation of the IQMS. And that's one of the challenges that we are struggling with. And we conducted a formal review of the IQMS in 2007. And there were a number of limitations that were identified, and there were recommendations that were given to say what is it that we must do to make the system effective. Now, it is primarily because of that report that a process of reviewing the IQMS was undertaken, and it is for that reason that we now have the proposed quality management system that is now in the ELRC, and the intent intention that the quality management system should actually replace the existing IQMS. And we have previously indicated that the QMS, in our view, can help us to improve the system in a number of ways. Firstly, we've made sure that we make the principal responsible for because like any manager, performance management is the responsibility of any manager. Now you cannot have a manager who runs a company but is cannot be responsible for the performance of the employees in that company. So that's one of the things that we've done in terms of the QMS. And secondly, we have removed the structures because the system has got a management structure that is there. Now, the problem with the IQMS is that it creates a parallel management structure that only focuses on the IQMS. Now, the tensions between your formal structure in the department in terms of your principal and SMTs and the powers reflected in terms of the structures created by the IQMS, now that lack of synergy between the two is negatively impacting on the successful implementation of IQMS. And when in the QMS, that's one of the issues that we have tried to deal with. Now, I think the status of the QMS, Chairperson, it's been lying on the agenda of the year last year. I think it's the third year now, if I'm not mistaken. Our minister has indicated very clearly that need to ensure that we find each other with the units on the QMS, and we have all recommitted ourselves once more to make sure that the QMS is finalized before the end of the year so that it can be implemented as soon as possible. So that's where we are.
Thank you very much for the presentation. But can I just get a question before I open up? So with the QMS, the parts that have been reviewed, mostly this part transcription, the SDT and the SMT, what else can you talk about when it comes to the reviewer part? What is it that you are waiting for on QMS?
When we came up with the QMS, as I've indicated, we looked at the review report that was developed in 2007. Now, the review report identified issues, particularly around the instrument, the issues around the language, to say that the language that is used in the IQMS is open for multiple interpretations, and therefore, when it comes to agreement on rating, then there will always be a dispute because then it depends on how one interprets whatever it is. So, it's the issue of the language. We have realigned the performance standards. The IQMS has got 12 performance standards. We've reduced the number of performance standards to 7 because. For an example, in the IQMS, when you evaluate teaching in the classroom, it separates evaluation of content separately from presentation. And under normal circumstances, the only way you can assess content is in the presentation. So we try to integrate those. So number, we have streamlined what the new thing that QMS is bringing as well is to ensure that the SMTs, which is HODs, deputy principals and principals, complete work plans. So that those work plans, because now we are working on the basis of targeting. So we've got to make sure that if a school is at a certain level of performance, then the school is able to set a target to say, this is how we are going to improve. And that target must be reflected in the of the members of the SMTs, so that it serves as a basis of the evaluation. So there are quite a number of areas where, and like for an example, the evaluation of the principal is another area where there's a different approach, because the reality is that there are principals who are not teaching. And we know that it is against existing policy for a principal not to teach. But now, so what has been happening is that because the IQMS does not have an option for if a principal does not teach, and what they have been doing in schools is that during the evaluation, they will just organize a lesson for purpose of an evaluation, which is not really meeting the objective. So in the QMS, we have introduced an element of waiting. And by that, what we are emphasizing is that whilst we recognize the importance of ensuring that the principal is aware in terms of what happens in the classroom, but the primary purpose of a principal is to manage. So we've introduced a weighting that makes sure that we differentiate weighting between the management responsibilities of the principal and the teaching responsibilities. So that even if you don't teach, but your school is well managed, then that should be reflected in the actual evaluation. So it's quite a number of areas where the QMS is actually bringing in a different approach. And the important thing, lastly, Chairperson, is the issue of the workload. There has been a lot of complaints from teachers and schools to say it takes a long time to implement the IQMS. The amount of documentation that is required is paper heavy, and with our schools struggling on the budget and others. So the issue of the paperwork and the time is addressed also in the QMS, because they only have to fill two pages in the QMS. And that adds for the whole evaluation through the year. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, we can engage with the presentation. Allow me to start that side. Honorable Poshoff, Honorable Machete, Honorable Mavika, Honorable Nguni, Lavmo, Ukoto, Basson, Honorable everyone. Honorable Bishop,
thank you, Madam Chair. With regard to the performance management cycle, the implementation of the reward or the pay progression, after the IQMS has been approved, how long does it take before that pay progression is paid? And then if you go to the external moderator visiting the schools, how many schools were not visited and what was the reason for that? And then how many schools SIPs are not functional? Thank you.
Yes. In the order that she has been noted, Honorable Majin. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the presentation, first. I
IQMS, which is Integrated Quality Management System. Now, some of the principals find resistance from the teacher when they try to implement the IQMS, because they are used, I suppose, to the old system, which was easy, and now that everything has to be recorded and reported, what measures maybe the department has got in terms of protecting the principals? Because at the same time, they find themselves targeted now, whereby the teachers will clash with the school governing bodies, so that the principal will be seen as trying to change the rules of the school, and yet this is the what is expected by the Department of Basic Education.
My first question would be to check if, after all the reasons that have been mentioned to change the IQMS to QMS, can one then suggest that the IQMS has failed, and that is what has resulted in seeing the need to change it to QMS in terms of how the IQMS was effective? Because one would have also a question as to, in terms of the effectiveness of the IQMS, have you come across a situation where after the evaluation of all the schools, you will receive reports saying that this educator has performed far below the expected standard. As a result, the educator does not qualify for the pay progression. If you have been and getting such situations, and again with the QMS now, because I don't have to dwell much on the agreement with the QMS, how is it going to be aligned with the provision of the resources in schools? Because one notes that the issue of resources may also hamper the performance of a particular individual. And that is to say, in other words, you find that those schools that are well resourced will have a better performance than those that are not resourced. And lastly, is to check in terms of the developmental part of it, as to how does the department ensure that the development after one has been evaluated is in fact being developed? Because you'll find that there is a development that has taken place within the school. Now, how is that one ensured that it does take place? Because even if it's going to be now managed by the members of the SMT, but they've got also a lot of other activities that they need to do. And about the external one now. I have not seen the response in terms of developing the educator coming from external. You will talk about the workshops, but they will happen once in a while. And you'll find that an educator requires to be developed from outside this year, and you'll find that nothing will take place, nothing is going to happen until the next cycle of appraisal takes place. So I don't know with the QMS now as to what changes are going to be effected to ensure that where there is a need for development, it does take place.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and morning, ladies and gentlemen, and honorable members. You see, issue that I have is the question of, you know, when we have to do IPMS, the whole school must come to a halt, to a stop, because now we have to run around, you see. So there's disturbance, because there are teachers, you see, this issue of DSGs. There are also teachers who are teaching in other classes, other subjects. They have to stop their subjects, and then have to go and monitor and assess the particular teacher. And they have to come back, sit down, analyze the records, see, and score in other instances, because it's divided into classroom management, it's divided into extra and co-curricular and so on. So you see, the entire system becomes a challenge, you see. That is it not possible? Is it not possible? We have got HODs, principal, the management, subject, senior teachers in the school, and so forth. Is it not possible? That because these people do class visits every time. It should be there. A normal school must be class visit. You see, a class visit is an ongoing process, Chairperson. It's not a once-off thing that now we know it's September, we have to run around now to observe a teacher. That we take those codes, because there are phones also there, and formulate, because a teacher will be evaluated time and again, not only or only once. Is it not possible that you will put that in the QMS? And the issue of grade progression. I know there was a salary progression and a grade progression in the IQMS. You know, since it was, I never saw one being graded. Can I tell you, Madam Chair? My school was getting between 70% and 80%. 70% and 80%. You see, since it was put in place, I never got anything. It was just like anything. So, I'm surprised.
Why
well,
the 80% on IQMS?
Yes, ma'am.
It's because they are not sure whether you were doing it correctly.
The question is why they were. That's the question. You see, just for a record, you know, I went until National Teaching Award. National. You see, got him all. You see, so it indicates how powerful the school was for me. And then the issue of support, only the support. You know, with the issue of support in the school, and the issue of the support in by the SDT, and by the support group, it's fine that's happening in the school. But you find the same teachers who are monitoring the teacher do not have even the content. They don't know what's happening. The same people who are supposed to support the teacher. You invite CIs, curriculum implementers. A person has just been placed that does not know any content. We always tell you about policy, and say, no, let us go out of policy and look at how you have this teacher. That's not all. And the last one is the question of one-size-fits-all approach. All teachers are called to a workshop. Let's go for a workshop for your personal development. How can you develop a person personally if you involve a person? You see, all people are treated in one. So it's not. If people can look at that one, and then the last one is the resistance. Please let us deal with the resistance. There should be. We don't expect principals and not teachers to resist to a departmental bodies. If it has been enacted, we expect all schools to. So if there's a resistance and principals are reporting, let's give them support by the district and by the provincial department. I thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Honorable Lafmos.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Where is Mr. Robert Harvey?
Chair,
I think this is a very good thing. I find it very sad that we need all the moderators that we do, but it is obviously a fact. I'm very concerned about the accountability, that we are struggling with accountability. I want to understand accountability at a level, not at a school level. Is there any instrument in place for accountability at a district level, for instance? I mean, you know, when we travelled to the Eastern Cape at the beginning of the year, we were told quite openly that the subject, in fact, by the provincial office, people, that the subject advisors don't know what they're doing, that they're not capable. Is there any instrument like this at a level that is not a school level? I don't understand, and I really appreciate your detail, Mr. Rambutake, I really do. It makes the presentation very, very interesting. But you said that you're struggling to hold principals accountable through the system. I didn't quite understand why. Won't you please take me slowly through that? I also, linked to that, I don't understand how accountability will be strengthened through the quality management. I know you're going to deal. Well, I hope you're going to deal with how close you might commit to the quality management system, but the problem is the major union in this country. Fine, is it not? Why don't you just talk about that? Sorry, just going back to the principals. I don't understand why principals, for instance, cannot be held accountable through school improvement plans. Why a principal is responsible for the school? And there's a school improvement plan and they don't reach the targets. Why can the principal not be held accountable to that school improvement plan? Or in fact, through their own personal growth plan. But you obviously are having problems, and so I'd like to find out more about that. The IQMS report that was emailed to us, Chair, is one of the documents I did go through. I don't know what purpose this serves, what the target audience is of this report. So I just like to find out. But you know what concerned me in this report, Chair, is that the comments, the recommendations and conclusions are made about schools. They're not made about the system itself or about the implementation of the system. Let me give you an example. And I know everything comes down to money. You really are doing a great job. You are, if I calculate correctly, you are reaching more than a third of our schools with your moderation. So that's fantastic. But, you know, in the Eastern Cape, which is a province that I come from, to visit 11 classrooms and observe what's going on in a classroom, in Limpopo to visit 8 classrooms and observe what's going on in a classroom, and then draw conclusions, is impossible, I'm afraid. That is not a statistical sample. You can't draw conclusions. You can't say most classrooms are doing this when no classrooms with this happening. It might only be those cases. It's absolutely impossible. So statistical sampling, I don't know if it's entering your equation, but it certainly should be. Can I just add one more question? How do the provinces come into this? I mean, when you find, for instance, and I can't recall the numbers offhand, but when you find, for instance, that on page 120, when you find that approximately half of the schools are doing anything at all about the annual national assessment, are actually putting in place improvement plans, that's not the teacher, that doesn't go to teacher accountability, that goes to district and province accountability. How do you then follow that up? How does it go from what the moderators are finding to that level? Thank you.
I wanted to also appreciate the report. For us, it provides good insight. But there are questions that I wanted to raise. In the report, you also said that there are vacancies that are not yet filled. How far are you in terms of making sure that all of them there are filled up? And when do you intend to finalize that? The other point would relate, like you also answered my question when you were about to close your presentation, but what are the stumbling blocks towards the finalization of the revision of the QMS? What are the challenges that you are facing? Because I think that there are very specific issues that you are raising that are, you know, blocking
progress to the implementation of the IQMS at the moment, particularly the role of the principals that does not been clearly defined to them in the current system. And as for the schools that are not adhering to the IQMS plan, how do you intend to deal with those schools? What are the measures taken by the department to make sure that it does not become an option for the schools to implement those plans? The other, maybe the last question, would relate to why is it that the department is not incorporating the whole system into the daily school program? So that IQMS is not seen in isolation, you know, you make it part of the system every day. Like for instance, when you go to an event, you already audit yourself, you already close the books for each and every transaction that you make. You complete it, like for the 26, you know that you have already completed the work. When you start to the 27th, it's a new day, and then it has got its own report waiting to be finalized as well. So I think maybe the approach that we should be looking at as a department to make sure that everybody takes part, takes action, and the principal, even if he does not teach, is able to close off the things as a manager at the same time. There are certain provinces that have not taken up the training that you highlighted. I'm looking at the foundation phase because my son is also in foundation phase. While he said that there are certain schools that have not taken up that part of the home languages, the FAM and math and so forth, of which those are the critical subjects to improve our ratings internationally and nationally on the ANA and other assessments that you participate in. Why is it like that? For instance, in the Northwest, in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, they have not done any subject-based training on mathematics, which is very key. Even on math, on English, it's the same. You go to accounting, is the same, and all that, maybe going up to the FET phase. What are the reasons why they say? Is it an option? Why do we make it an option? Why is it not compulsory? And then also trying to lastly find out whether all these things that you are doing, how are they incorporated into that new system of the teacher development centers? Is it part of that program? Because I thought that it would be better if on a regular basis, maybe quarterly, teachers will go for training, you know, to revise their knowledge on particular subjects, and then come back to their training after another quarter. Maybe in the third quarter they go back and so forth. Is it part? Does it add up to that work that is happening at the teacher development center? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. The report is well welcomed and appreciated, especially on the challenges of IQMS. As it was once identified, I'm sure there was a summit 2007 and 2008 at Emperor's. problem is it not, or what is it? Is this not a compulsory that each and every province should train or workshop the educators and QMs? And another point it has raised was, is this 1% reincorporation? Is that any teacher except NTA what any teacher who has received a loan, a pay progression that you can mention because of good performance or because there's this if rain for God. So whether I perform or is there any teacher who has been isolated, not being not received a pay progression because he has performed bad and so on. The dishonesty of educators and even principals, as it has been mentioned, have we accommodated or do we have strategies of how to eliminate things of dishonesty when evaluating ourselves? Is that peer, is it a peer educator evaluation still also accommodated in QMS? Because that is also part that has been noticed, that I will be evaluated by my peers, by my friends, that even if I comply or I not comply, my report will be good and so on. Thank you.
Sebastian, I think they have taken quite a number of issues that I wanted to raise here. But nevertheless, I want to check on the question of the intermediate phase and senior phase in terms of the number of educators trained in key subjects. When I'm looking at the graph, it indicates that these are low graphs, or because it was a sampling that was done in terms of that, because I think that is where we're supposed to be strengthening our issues of training in terms of laying the best foundation in terms of understanding the key subject that we're talking about here. For me, if the senior phase, the level of engagement will be a little bit lower because it forms the basic foundation for the performance in the senior phase or especially in grade 10. So that means that we are losing. And most of you check in the question of the attitude, I think it's all about the attitude in terms of us as educators. I'm including myself there because I'm also a teacher. The attitude, because the program is very good, and it gives one an opportunity to develop. But instead of being honest to myself, I want to score myself as a 3 or a 4, whereas I know that I deserve a 2 or a 1, so that I can get a chance to be developed in terms of enriching myself, in terms of skills and the like. So I'm not becoming honest, and here comes the principal who is also poor in terms of that. It is rather stemming and cannot be able to question that. Because when we, the person who has got the final say in terms of that is the principal to confirm that. I think it's high time that principals have got to make their signatures very expensive in terms of signing those documents, because if a person is scoring himself more than what you have observed, then I think we are not assisting the system as a principal if we are doing that. Thank you.
Chairperson, all my questions have been exhausted, but now I just want to raise a concern. Personally, I don't think that IQMS has failed, but you know, the way it is coming from the department, when they now start to change names, remove the integrated and remain with the other one, it tells you that maybe now they've just thought themselves that it has failed, because now if you say now we're saying it's QMS, you remove that I, because it has its own meaning and it was realistic. So you are telling us that you no longer believe in it, and I took it as a process, not as an event. You know, change is pain. You know where we are coming from and where we are today. We need to accept that things must happen the way we are living today. I want to maintain, Chairperson, that I think it is not right to remove that I, the integrated one. It was correct, but you know, it is not going to achieve the fruits. You see, you're talking 10 years. You're talking just 10 years. You expect a lot of things to have changed. But with the department, I'm just disappointed that you are telling us it has failed. Once you say the integrated one, you don't want it. And the QMS one, you know what is going to happen. It means it's going to disadvantage those who were part of you when wanted to implement it, while it was good. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the presenter. I think my colleague next to me is right. I felt the same way. But it's a curious sort of change of name, just moving QMS. But let us not perhaps jump the gun, and let's wait until the QMS is implemented and see how different it's going to be to the I, QMS with an I. But having said that, I think I commend the presenter. He was very honest, especially when it came to the evaluation and his conclusion on the effectiveness of IQMS. I think you're very honest with us to sort of say that to pinpoint the weaknesses. But my question is, if the department has been aware that the system is not working, why does it allow itself to be held to ransom for 3 years? You want to introduce something new, replace something which is not working, but you are held to ransom for more than 3 years now. Why are you... Like principals, we have got no authority again. As you rightly point out, that principals have, each principal's authority has been eroded. But it seems the same thing with the department.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I would have only two. For me, is how are we planning to coordinate all these initiatives we have in our system? You know, I think we have got so much that when brought together, really we can have a great impact and changes in the system. We're talking of developmenting teachers, making them accountable, various people that will play a role in developing them. We've got subject advisors on the other hand. We know the complaints that are there. We've got, I don't know what we call them now, inspectors, what are inspectors? But there are still those circuit management. Yes, they are there. We've got these moderators. There is so much that we have, really, but it's quite difficult to see them being well coordinated, as to say we're looking at one, we all have one objective. But really, go to the subject advisors, go to those inspectors, go to the moderators, the SMTs themselves. I think they somehow that you are just failing to connect everything. So, Honorable Makoto's talk of these teacher centers. There is so much that the department has introduced with good intentions. How are we saying one day we sit and say, how do we coordinate, bring together so that all these elements can talk to each other and we see the results? Because as it is, really, we can come with QMS, we can come with what? As long as that one pushes to that side and that side, for me, I don't see any way that we will be achieving any good from the initiative, good ones as it may be, that you are coming to come to bring about. Really, we need to talk to them. What's on the subject of subject advisors, our good department, that has been an outcry ever since. I really don't know what is it that you are doing. Is it the training? The teachers themselves are always complaining, even on the content of the. I'm not sure whether we're losing it on the appointments themselves, or if ever we do, because we know exactly now that there is a program around it. What is it that you are doing? Because we can't be sitting here really here with one layer in our system where we know generally there is a general outcry about them. Whenever you go, you know that they always come for exams, they moderate, but really, what is their job description? They can be helping even on these issues of developing our teacher. I'm not saying I can't bind them all in one basket. Definitely, I know there are those who are doing well, but generally so. I hope one day we just need to have a job description of the subject advisors. What is expected of them? Why are they not doing it? Because as of now, really, we can't go out in all the provinces. We come up with one complaint of the subject advisors that are not seen to be pulling up their socks when it comes to this. On the issue of moderators, you said we only have 80 throughout the country. I'm very interested to know their distribution. You said it's on a proportional basis as for the vastness of the province. But I'm very interested really on the provinces like the Eastern Cape, where they're quite vast, their challenges. Do we see them doing something there, and even on the graphs that we have just come up with, are we seeing their impact? What is it that we see? But on page 4, I'm not sure what slide is that one. The one that is headed findings on IQMS moderators. There are various areas where there are findings with green, blue, yellow, number one rate, those ratings. It's quite disturbing, really, that I'm not sure when did you get this report on these ratings? But it shows that indeed we have a problem on IQMS. If ever we don't have a problem with, do you have any with 3 or is the first date at least? And how date? But the rest is really, you see, you could see we're just in the ICU or going closer. But let's hope we are moving towards the green. But that slide for me is an indication indeed that there is something wrong with this system, but let's hope QMS is going to be attending to that. And I wonder after this report, what are the steps that have been taken to make sure that we come out of that? Lastly, the very last one. With the QMS lying with ELRC for 3 years, yes, I know you've touched on it. Maybe we need to know, even as a committee, what are the challenges. Why is it there? Because it's our duty again. We need to make a follow-up even with the ELRC. We must know what are the blockages that are there so that we can try and speed it up. So if you can just be open with us, we know exactly what is happening. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Ramtur.
Thank you. Sorry, just before and that is that we need to state, I think as we indicated in the opening slides and in Mr. Rabatapa's introductory comments, that the approach that we are taking as a result of the report and the years that we've been able to reflect on implementation is in fact that there have been a number of instances where we've had inconsistencies in the application of the approach.
and that the overriding approach and theme which guides the department in its work of reviewing this is entirely to look both at the successful implementation, which we have sufficient evidence of, as well as the inconsistencies and unevenness across the sector, which has been largely informed by how we are going to be tackling the revision of the quality management system in terms of how that in itself will hope to build on the successes and deal quite rigorously with those areas that require review and radical revision. The issue of the verification also of the private reports, the fact that peer evaluators and other factors contribute to the inconsistency is the one, I mean, those number amongst the areas of review in terms of quality enhancement. So there's not an attempt, I think, at this point to say we can negate all of the successes of the ICMS, and we need to build on that in terms of how we're going to be taking the way forward. We've also spoken, I think, in the introductory comments about issues of alignment, that there's a now broader framework, both within the, not only our sector plan, which also came about, you know, after the implementation of ICMS, but also the broader frameworks of the NPSX and the NPT, guiding how, in terms of the last administration, we adopted a sector-wide approach. And that in itself is a process which is going to be deepened during this administration. So the issue of standardization and verification, especially of the peer evaluation and other aspects of ICMS where there's certain doubt to be cast on whether we can accept the ratings that are being submitted, means that from a national perspective, there's a requirement that we conduct ourselves in terms of providing leadership to the sector at large and not to rely on provincial inconsistencies. So it's with that spirit that we speak not of necessarily the failings of the previous system, but certainly of where we've learned lessons in terms of a review that is requiring our approach to be informed by the constructive elements of how it has been implemented, but secondly, how we hope to then address very rigorously those areas which require radical improvement. And that includes looking at the instruments. I think Honourable Lavmore spoke about what is the role of district, what is the role of the province. I think it was yourself, I'm not sure. And I think it's in this instance that we need to be looking very, very clearly at how it is that we now activate and mobilize the resources at that level, which means the quality of officials there and their readiness. I think Your Honourable Chair spoke about, you know, what are those other officials doing? How are we checking on their competency? Because it's not just about the content, it's also about levels of competency, but primarily about issues of accountability. We do know that we've seen instances where people who actually sit at district level have possibly just moved because they failed at school level, and then we promoted into other areas of where they create further problems. So we want to acknowledge that. I mean, our stance is very clear. We're taking a very honest reflection on the system because we cannot call for accountability unless we address it at every level. And that goes right up to our own level within the national system as well. So the point I want to make is that if we look at this in isolation from the other efforts of the DBE, we're going to miss the point also of the efforts of the Minister and her counterparts in provinces to look at a system-wide, a sector-wide approach, which then takes account of how do we look at standardization, not only in terms of competence and qualification, but how do we look at it each, because we've seen, you know, with the concurrent powers, that provinces have called people different things, they've been working to a different job description or mandate, and that level is where we've now, in terms of the district coordination, decided to enter at that point and ensure that at every level of the system we are able to begin to implement those levels of accountability, because ultimately that is what frames the entire approach to the PME. It's not simply about looking at who, you know, peer evaluation, and but to look at how those different levels integrate and work in synergy with each other across the sector. And hopefully we will be able to then gain the confidence not only of our own officials but also of our unions to ensure that there is uniformity. Because I think it's also that problem which speaks to your last question, and which I will now ask my colleagues to speak to in detail in terms of all of the questions that have been posed. But I just thought it was important to make that point. Thank you.
Thanks for the questions, Chairperson. Maybe I should start with this question on whether the IQMS has failed or not. The way we look at it is that, I mean, every system evolves. And I think our education system has been undergoing reforms. It's not a static system. And as a result, you've got to always look at your processes and other mechanisms to ensure that you know, they are relevant and to the context in terms of where you are. So similarly, the IQMS as a system, I think it has taken us up to a certain point. But going forward in terms of where we want to position the system, clearly we cannot continue with it in its current form. And so the review must be seen within the broader context of, you know, the system that is evolving and then reforming itself in a manner that will improve its own performance. Now, when you look at how the QMS itself is structured, we were very careful because we were very clear that the intention is not to come up with a completely new system. We are reforming an existing system. So, we've made sure that we're not coming up with something that is completely new and something that is completely unrelated to what teachers are used to. So the QMS intention is to clearly address the challenges that were created by IQMS. But I think when you look at the two systems, you will see that there is a clear connection. But the QMS gives us the opportunity to reposition ourselves in terms of bringing more accountability and more improvement in the performance of the system. So from that perspective, the IQMS has not failed. It had its time, and under that context, it obtained its own objectives, whilst also acknowledging the challenges that are still there in terms of making it more effective. the question around principals and do we have any measures in which we can protect principals? The performance of principals is regulated by a number of policies and legislation. For an example, your Employment of Educators Act would also confer certain responsibilities around principals. So when we raise the issue of saying that we can't hold principals accountable, we were specific in terms of saying, in terms of how IQMS is. And the challenge being that the IQMS prescribes certain processes so that when they take certain actions, their actions must be checked against prescriptions in the IQMS. And now we're saying that those prescriptions in the IQMS don't give principals the overarching authority over the system. And that is the problem. Because in as much as from an accountability point of view, we want to say if the school is underperforming and if principals, if teachers within the school are not performing as expected. But once you use the IQMS to try to explain that is where you will have problems in terms of saying now, as a principal, what did you do? But within the broader scheme of things, I think as government now, quality of management in that school. So strengthening it is part of it. So that's why in the QMS, we've made sure that the QMS is aligned with other policies in terms of making the principal the accounting officer, something that the IQMS had created some problems in terms of bringing that alignment. the issue around resources, whether will when we evaluate educators in terms of the QMS, are we going to take into account the issue of resources and because of their impact on we have retained in the QMS the issue around the contextual factor. But what we've also been able to indicate is to say that teachers remain the most important resource. Now, we believe that even if in certain instances, for whatever reason, there are no other resources, but the fact that the teacher is there, that teacher remains the most important resource. And if we don't believe that a teacher can say, because I don't have an aide, then I can't teach, because an aide becomes an enabling mechanism. So once we acknowledge that resources are important, we don't want to underplay the importance of resources, but we don't want them to be used as excuses for lack of delivery. I mean, there are certain things that can still happen, even in instances where resources are not there. I mean, you can't have a laser set in a school and use resources to justify it because the CAE knows it. So what I'm saying is that whilst the resources are a challenge in the system and there are mechanisms to try and address that, but we still expect people to do their best in terms of making the best out of their own situation. And when we evaluate them, we need to take into account the context of their situation. Okay. I just want to give you the issue of the grade progression to say that the system of grade progression had a very short time span in the system. And grade progression only applies to specific categories. For an example, the reason why we have senior teachers in the system today, those people became senior teachers mainly due to grade progression, because that's where you move from one grade to the next. But then the system, and it helped us because at some point we had a number of post level one teachers who were at the top notch, and as a result they could not benefit from pay progression. So when grade progression was introduced, it created an opportunity for them to progress to the next grade, and as a result we were able to benefit from pay progression. But then the system was discontinued as part of the negotiation process. That brought it was traded off with other things within the system, but that was part of the negotiation process. The same as accelerated pay progression. It was also traded off with other benefits that we. The issue of resistance. IQMS is a policy of the department, and no policy is optional. So all people must implement policy, and they must be held accountable for the implementation of the policy. So in this regard, we have on a number of occasions Foreign Circuit Manager, and then you also have other staff in the district office that is employed in terms of the Public Service Act. Now, personnel that is under Public Service Act has got their own evaluation system, and then personnel that is under Employment of Educators Act have got a PMDS system that we use for their evaluation. But then, even on that one, we must acknowledge that its implementation is not as it should be. And that is why in provinces like the Eastern Cape, I mean, that system requires that these subject advisors and circuit managers sign work plans and undergo evaluation, and our assessment is that in most instances there are no work plans, the evaluations are not conducted, and so it's one of the areas that we are dealing with in the system, but it is one of the problematic areas. And what is the target audience of the report? Now, basically, the report is aimed at giving the status of implementation. It's also some kind of an accountability mechanism. There has been a lot of investment done into the IQMS. Now, the reports are there to say, you know, where are we? Are we succeeding? What are the challenges? And it's meant for the system. I mean, the DDE provinces, when institutions like NIDU come into to do the evaluation, we give them the report so that through the report, they are also able to come to certain conclusions about the state of the system. So that's why the report, you put it also on the website, because it's information sharing about where are we. Now, how do we do follow up on the findings? I think we can address that and the vacancies. What are the stumbling blocks and what are the measures taken for non-implementation? I think I've addressed that to say, if people don't implement, just like any other policy, it is misconduct, and therefore people mechanisms must be implemented. Now, why are other provinces not doing subject-based processes, and what about the Teacher Development Center? I think the whole area around the development, and I'm sure we will talk more about this when we do the CPTD management system, but I think what we need to acknowledge is that as a system we have been struggling for some time when it comes to issues of teacher development, and this struggle is caused mainly by lack of capacity. Looking firstly at your HODs at school level, HODs at school level are supposed to provide support for teachers in the specific subject. They are supposed to do your mentoring and coaching. But then what we have realized is that firstly, how we appoint HODs is a problem. And that is why now we are putting measures in place to change the way we also appoint HODs. And the same will apply to how we appoint circuit managers, how we appoint subject advisors. Because in most instances, I mean, these technically are specialist posts, subject specialist, but you find that people who are appointed don't even have any proven track record in those specific subjects. But what is even crucial is that during the appointment processes, it's not even a requirement to check whether this person's track record warrants that he or she must be considered for that. So that has been a weakness in the system, and it's something that we are addressing to make sure that if somebody does not have capacity, even when you invoke training, the people don't respond because the basic competencies
change the way we appoint these people and make sure that we strengthen the appointment measure, then we can actually deal with. Because everybody in the system is talking about the issue of subject advisors, but the subject advisors must be able to provide support to the HODs, because those are the people who are at school level all the time. They interact with the teachers on an ongoing basis, and they are the ones who must provide on-site support. Now, if HODs are incapacitated, then there will be a problem, because we cannot run schools from district offices. Districts must support, and support people must come in, build capacity, and focus somewhere else. Otherwise, if there's no capacity in a school, you'll find that the subject advisor becomes trapped in a particular school on an ongoing basis, and it's not sustainable. So that will address the challenges that we are experiencing. And just to acknowledge Chairperson, to say that the issues around teacher centers, recently the minister launched subject committees and professional learning communities. Now, these measures, together with ensuring that we change appointment processes, the system is of the view that if these measures are successful, then we will be able to address one of the biggest weaknesses in our system, which is to have effective processes to deal with teacher development. How sure are we that QMS will not give problems? It's a difficult question. The difficult questions, but I think that we've done the analysis. The QMS will rise and fall on the principal, but fortunately, if a principal is not able to perform in terms of this, there are mechanisms to hold the principal accountable. So that's our leeway. Do we have any teachers who did not get paid progression yet? Chairperson, there are. All the teachers who have been scored a 1 do not qualify for paid progression, and we do have statistics on the number of teachers who were not given paid progression. Is peer evaluation still part of the QMS? The answer is no. Because the structures, as we've indicated, we've taken them away. There was a point made about the issue of attitudes, which is a correct observation, and we've got to work together and ensure that those attitudes continue to change, and attitudes don't change quickly. So, in as much as we bring in the QMS, but what we've been emphasizing is that at the end of the day, it depends on the attitude of the people. Instruments won't change attitude. We can change the instrument, but if people's mindset is not reorientated, we'll still have problems, and something that we need. Why remove the I? I think the IQMS chairperson, the reason why it was called the IQMS, there was a context to it. Because when it came into being in 2003, we were just coming out of the developmental appraisal system, which came into being in 1998. And in 2002, there was another system that was supposed to focus only on performance measurement. Which was the performance measurement system. Now, there was a concern that, and then we also had whole school evaluation that also came in 1998. So there was a concern that we have too many the IQMS, which was integrating all those existing systems. Now, so that was the context. So the QMS, the reason why we retained QMS basically was to also say to the system, we are not bringing a completely new system. Because there was a reason for integration at that time, now we have a different focus because the QMS will not necessarily take on the other elements like your whole school evaluation. It's not. It will impact on the WSE, but the integration in terms of the performance standard is not part of this process. So hence we remove the I, because the I had a purpose then, and that purpose has been removed. That's why it has also been removed. Why is the system allowing itself to be held to ransom? Chairperson, you see, the minister is empowered in terms of legislation to say that if you cannot have an agreement at the bargaining council, then you can declare policy. But we've also taken cognizance of the fact that the only way you can successfully implement a system like this one is if you have buy-in. Now we can declare policy and then try to chase everyone to implement because there's no buy-in. And that's why we are investing time to ensure that we deal with all the concerns wherever they are. And there has been some new concerns that have been raised by the teacher union on the QMS that we will be engaging with them. But we are placing a high premium on ensuring that there is complete buy-in, because it is only through successful buy-in that we can anticipate some level of success in terms of implementation. So that is the reason. It's not necessarily about allowing ourselves to be held to ransom, but it's valuing, you know, the importance of having consensus rather than going a policy. I think I've addressed the issue of the subject as well. The job description chairperson to say that because we are reviewing the appointment measures of these categories, then the job descriptions are, we have reviewed them, and they are also currently in the ELRC. They are being discussed, the revised job descriptions, including the revised performance management system for your office. That is also being discussed in the ELRC. Yes, Habib will deal with the questions.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few questions and very briefly. the first one deals with pay progression, right? Pay progression in terms of the management plan of IQMS is to be implemented by 30th of June in each province. And in the second quarter, when we get the second quarter reports, provinces report to us as to whether pay progression was affected or not. But currently what we do monitor is the capturing of the IQMS scores on the staff. And our annual report has indicated, given a progress report, as to how provinces have captured the IQMS scores on the staff. Once it's captured, pay progression is affected subsequently. And some provinces affect it progressively. So if they have captured 80% of scores, pay progression is affected, and others will be affected subsequently, but the deadline is 30th of June. Schools not visited, and why? Yes, you'll realize that obviously the moderators, if they visit with the capacity that we have, and if they visit one school per day, they can visit at least 8,000 schools for a year. But in the past financial year, they managed to visit two schools per day, and together with that, they also engaged in school profiling. So as a result, at least a third of the schools were visited. And that is something that we've kept up constantly over the past few years. The next one is, how many schools were not how many schools are not functional in terms of, I think it's IQMS, I think that's what it is. SIPs. Right. Now, in terms of this particular information, now you'll find that the WSE actually monitors the school improvement plan. We also have a whole school evaluation unit. We currently do not have the data as to how many schools are not functional as far as the SIP is concerned. However, we do know that the monitoring by districts is inconsistent as far as SIPs are concerned. Right. But at the same time, what we do is, in terms of the ICMS reports, we do send individual reports are sent to provinces. So if you found 9,300 reports up here, it's not that we are keeping it with us, those 9,300 reports were sent electronically or to all provinces for them to participate to proceed with the intervention processes in the province. The next question is dealing with a developmental point. How do we ensure that it is managed? Yes, the development in the provinces. Now you must note that, as we indicated, the development that we focus on is only on development emanating from the PGPs, that's the IQMS. And what we have introduced this year is that the moderators also go to schools to identify the individual developmental needs, prepare a data sheet, and remember, we do not do the development ourselves, because that information, that data will be forwarded to the teacher development unit within the province, so that provinces can intervene. So the process is an integrated process. We even manage the workplace skills plan, and that's also a process where development takes place in terms of the pivotal training interventions, and which addresses the scarce and the critical skills in provinces. And the ICMS, the PM, the personal development plan in terms of the PMDS, and other related issues related to the integrated teacher planning development framework, all that is integrated in order to ensure development takes place in the provinces. Our part, obviously, is only on the personal growth plan of the ICMS. The second, the zeros of provinces that did not provide any training on the based on the personal growth plans on the school improvement plans. Now, capacity in provinces differ, and even the structures in provinces differ. So you'll find that in some instances, the IQMS coordinated in the provinces indicated that that particular area of development is provided by the teacher development unit, which is not integrated within the province. However, we are now meeting with provinces currently to ensure that there is that integration that takes place in provinces, so that there is consistency in the reporting that comes to us. So that is an area that we need to address, and I think our report is very clear to indicate that is an area, and we admit that particular issue. The next question concerns how meaning of that. I think that's the meaning of zero. And the last one was the graph. I think there was an indication where the graph on the slide indicates that there is that support or training in intermediate and senior phase is low compared to the other two phases. Yes, we agree with that. I think that's the purpose of the report. The report is not to identify areas in which training has not been provided adequately, and that report should now be used by provinces in order to ensure that the targeted areas or phases for training should be the intermediate and the senior phase, because there was a lot of emphasis placed on the foundation phase and the FET phase, and that's what the report actually indicates. I think that's all. Thank you.
Lastly, Chairperson, you had asked about the challenges that are making it difficult for the QMS to be finalized. There are two key areas that have been raised specifically by SATU. Firstly is the issue of the structures. They are unhappy about the fact that the structures have been taken away in the QMS. The staff development team and the development as well as the issues of the time that has been raised. But what the union is raising is the issue of ensuring that the process is democratized, because according to them, those structures are democratizing the process. They don't trust the principals. They believe that if principals are allowed to take charge of the process, they are likely to abuse their powers, and they believe that through the structures, they will be able to ensure that there's no abuse of power by the principals. So that's an area where we have to sort out. The next area is the issue of learner achievement, because the current instrument is raising the issue of learner achievement as part of the evidence for good performance. The problem is that with the current IQMS, you might find that the scores of the teachers are very high and everybody gets progression. But if you look at the result, it's not reflecting the same. And so what we are emphasizing here is that there must be a correlation. We are not saying learner achievement should be the only criteria, but it cannot be ignored when you want to determine whether a teacher is performing well or not. And that's an area that they are not happy about. So those are the two stumbling blocks, if I can put it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know there can be so many follow-up questions, but please, honorable members,
allow me to get on to with the second presentation. Surely there will be some things that will be overlapping in the two. Can we get a presentation on CPTD? It's one of the resources we said teachers are the most important resource that we have in our system. So let us hear how the presentation is going to be on how we're planning to develop them, focusing on these two gaps, that is the content gap and also the pedagogical aspect, because that is what we understand when we talk of the areas for development with the teachers themselves, as to say, whatever plans we are doing, how are we going to make sure that we close those two gaps with them. As I said in my opening, really, it's quite disturbing to see the newspaper saying teachers cannot even pass the papers that the learners can sit and be subjected to, but the teachers themselves cannot do that. So it's a concern that even on the content area, the teachers themselves sometimes they are found to be wanting. So can we hand over? I'm not sure whether the Ms. Carol says we are going to be starting, then I hand over to say to lead us on the discussion.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not going to say anything by introduction. I think we have both requested the Black College to choose a question for the DVD side so that we can get guys to speak to just mark a brief.
Thank you once more, I just wanted to
indicate, I will just keep this, but just to indicate, Chairperson, that the development of teachers is the responsibility of the Department of Basic Education and the provinces as the employer, through, amongst others, the system that we have just discussed, and other mechanisms of identifying teachers. So it's the primary responsibility. But then the South African Council of Educators, which is a key partner in the department, which is responsible for managing the profession itself, is managing the information system on the continuing professional teacher development. Now, this system emanated from the discussions that were held during the Teacher Development Summit in 2009 that gave rise to the policy framework, the integrated strategic planning framework.
and the acknowledgement was that there were things that were happening, but there was lack of integration. And the lack of integration was impacting negatively on impact. So the aim of the strategy was to make sure that we come up with an integrated system. But secondly, to ensure that we improve quality and make sure that when people participate in developmental programs, there can be recognition of the level of training that they are undergoing through the allocation of the points. So the CPTD management system makes provision, for an example, for approval of the quality and the credibility of the professional development providers. That means the intention was to make sure that we don't have people who come and provide development to our teachers, and we don't know who they are, what is their quality, and all of those things. Because some of these providers were just fly-by-night people who were allowed to go into our schools. So it was one way of trying to regulate that. Secondly, endorsing relevant and good professional development quality activities and programs. Now, this was to ensure that when training is provided to teachers, it's in response to the identified needs. You cannot have training that has no relevance to what is happening in the classroom. So that's why the issue of putting a system of endorsing programs and activities so that we can check what areas of responsibility are they responding to, and then how are they addressing. So that's what the second bullet there. And then allocating professional development points. Technically, you can say the points are a reflection of the quality of the program. So we allocate programs a point on the basis of that, and crediting teachers account after undertaking that program. I want to talk mainly here because I want this to actually have more time in terms of it. But the important thing is to understand what the role of the DBE is in relation to the CPTD management system. So we have to ensure that firstly there is a credible system in place to identify teacher needs, because we've got to inform things about what the needs of the system are, so that when this approves provider and approves program, we can do that against the background of the needs that have been identified by the system. And secondly, the DBE has the responsibility to have quality teacher development programs available to respond to such needs. While the DBE takes a leading role, but there are other role players, and that's why I say as a role to regulate these other role players. But from the DBE side, we also have to make sure that our own programs are submitted to SACE for endorsement, so that when teachers go through our workshops, they can then also. So as the department, we don't have a blank check to provide poor quality programs. So we also must be judged on the same standard when it comes to provision. Then the issue around time, that must be set aside for teachers to participate in programs. You've got to make sure that in terms of your timetabling at a school level and other mechanisms, we create space that will allow teachers to actually engage in professional teacher development. Then the issue of funding is also a major issue. We've got to make sure that there's proper funding that is available for teachers to participate in this program. And then the coordination, monitoring, and reporting on the programs. We are also providing funding to SACE to ensure that SACE manages the information system on behalf of the department. And then that the skills development levy funding through the ETDP CETA that must be used for training, and we are also funding teacher unions through the teacher union collaboration to also develop programs that meet their programs to seek for endorsement and ensure that people are using. Now that graph is just showing the training that has been happening basically through since 2009, and you can see that it is showing an upward trajectory in terms of the number of programs that people have participated in. But 110,000 in a system of approximately 400,000 is still not sufficient. And even though there is an increase in the number of these, but there can still be questions raised about the relevance and the quality in terms of that. This is also on the funding part to say when we talk about funding for training, what is the size of the basket that is available there? And it shows that from a funding perspective, there's quite a substantial amount of funding that can actually make it possible for us to ensure that training happens and it happens right. I've reflected on a number of limitations and then things will come in to say that we need to acknowledge that our systems for need identification are not strong enough. And I think our debate on the IQMS now won, but fortunately now through the ANA and through the NSC diagnostic report, it has helped us to be more focused in terms of teacher development needs. But we are also introducing a program of self-diagnostic, self-assessment, which would also help our teachers to know exactly what development they need. Participation levels of teachers in teacher development programs is insufficient. I think that's what we are acknowledging in terms of that graph. The issue of quality and relevance of programs, it's something that we still need to address. Department still not submitting enough programs to SAIS for endorsement. So we are liaising with provinces as well to say they must ensure that all their programs are SAIS endorsed. And then department still exposing teachers to programs that are not SAIS endorsed and providers that are not SAIS accredited. Planning and reporting on programs still needs to improve. Spending on the skills levy needs to improve in some provinces. So despite showing that basket of funding, but our analysis shows that some of the provinces fail to spend the available amounts for training. And issues relating to capacity, issues relating to planning that we need to address. I just wanted to give that context because now this will proceed on the system itself. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I will be focusing on the implementation of the TPCD management system at provincial level. We are currently phasing in the system in all the 9 provinces on the basis or in line with the approved TPCD implementation plan, which was approved by the State Council and TESCOM in 2012. We are basically focusing on the 4 areas as highlighted there. For example, orientating and signing up educators to participate in the CPTD management system, but also making sure that at the end of a 3-year cycle, they earn 150 points. And secondly, like Enoch has already indicated, we approve service providers to make sure that they have approval status before they can even
provide or offer safe and not professional development activities. So there's no provider that can offer safe and not activity if that provider is not safe approved. So that's where we are at the moment. And we are also beginning to see that the provincial departments of education, in terms of offering funding to these safe providers, they are also requesting them to present their approval status and make sure that all the activities that and programs that they are offering are endorsed by us. But in addition, we are advocating and communicating the CPCD management system policy and also make sure that we have ongoing monitoring and evaluation so that we can feed back into the system as a whole. We are implementing the system according to the three identified cohorts. For example, 2013-14, the focus was on principals and deputy principals in terms of us orientating them through the CPCD management system, but also making sure that they sign up for that particular system, and I will indicate later on what I mean by sign up. The intention is that a year before they start with their three-year cycle, they should have gone through the orientation process, but also have username and passwords to be able to access the system so that they can, on their own, in a position to monitor their own participation in professional development. So this current financial year, the focus is on orientating the HODs, but also your principals and deputy principals have already started with their first 3 year cycle. So as I'm speaking around June, they were reporting for the first time in terms of the kind of activities that they are participating in. The next financial year, we will be having the principals moving into the second year of their 3 year cycle and having your HODs starting with the first year of their 3 year cycle, and all the post level 1 teachers being orientated for and signing up in preparation for participation in the CPCD management system. So we decided to focus on the cohort approach because it's a completely new system that we are bringing into the sector, but also to make sure that we don't crash it. We manage it accordingly and be in a position to learn from it as we face it in. Our orientation and sign-up processes, the focus largely is on unpacking the legislation, teacher education and development legislation, that is so that we can provide a broader context of what the CPCD management system comes from, but also for them to understand broadly what is it all about. We also look at the relationship between the CPCD management system and also the IQMS, because one of the things that we notice is that within the system as a whole, there's a confusion around what ICMS is all about and also what the CPCD management system is all about. And the other area is to say we need to start bringing in the whole concept of teachers taking responsibility for their own professional development. And one of the things that we introduced is for them to have professional development portfolios so that they can begin taking responsibility for their own development, but also record their own participation and ultimately reflect on whether there's any impact that is coming out of their own participation in all these activities or not. And we also have brought in a process of administering a legal identification questionnaire, because we agree that we've got an ICMS, we've got ANA, we've got NSC that is dealing with that. But we needed to also, from our own perspective, to really begin to identify those needs so that we can begin to inform the programs that we are running in addition to what the education department is already doing. And then we have a manual or electronic sign-up process, which, like I've indicated earlier on, provides principals and deputy principals with an opportunity to create their own records so that they can be in a position to access the CPCD self-service portal and be in a position to manage their own professional development on an ongoing basis. The main reason why we want all the cohorts to sign up, one is to, I think you'll agree with me that we have a state registration database, which we are saying it has got plus minus 600,000 educators, but coming from research background, I'm unable to utilize that particular data because it's not as clean as it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be, as a professional council, informing the profession, leading the profession in terms of issues of teacher demand and supply, for example, issues of teacher professionalization. But because of the nature of the database, we are not able to do so. And one of the issues why really that data is in the state that it's in is because we've got a once-off registration. And there are no proper mechanisms for us to update the system on a regular basis. And mainly because of that, when we introduced the CCTV system, one of the things that we said from our side was that we don't want to work on a database that is not in. And the whole process of signing up all the teachers is giving us an opportunity to really revamp the database, come up with a new database which can be relevant and inform planning, inform decision making within the entire system. And we've got different fields, variables that we are using for people today of making sure that we lead as a profession because we are a professional body. But at the end of the day, what we also want to do is to make sure that we link up the CPCD Management Information System with your SSM that is in the Department of Basic Education with any, but also to a larger extent with the process of updating the state registration database. That's one of the reasons why we are dealing with that exercise throughout the In addition to that, we remember I said individual educators need to create their own individual records for purposes of really monitoring the uptake of their own individual professional development, but also to begin reporting their participation and also the points that they've already earned. We are giving them a username and password so that they can be in a position at any given time to utilize whatever gadgets that they have in terms of that particular individual monitoring purpose. So at the moment, the CPTV self-service portal is utilized for regular updates of individuals on their information, but also uploading and tracking participation in professional development, accessing database of approved providers, and also database of endorsed professional development activities. We have the professional development portfolio that I've spoken about earlier online, so that they've got a choice of working on it manually, because we have copies, but also accessing it from the CIS website, or working on it from the CPTV self-service portal online. And if they do it online, it updates their records at the same time. And they don't necessarily have to have workload of coming back and updating records. They can also report any challenge that they have in terms of professional development, in terms of participation in the CPTV system through that particular CPTV information system. And we have mechanisms of escalating the problems they are having those kind of challenges. Now, sign-ups are done manually, like I've been putting on earlier on, and you will see the reasons why we still have a whole lot of educators who are doing it manually and electronically through our portal, which can be accessed either through the state website, we've got a mobile site that we've developed, and also we have a CPCD self-service work-in center, which is a space, because you still have the number of teachers, in fact 50%, who lose their state certificates on a daily basis. And because we don't have capacity in provinces, we don't have state provincial offices, they tend to travel in numbers to Pretoria for them to get the reprint. So that particular self-service center is assisting them when they come to state so that they can be in a position to, at the same time, deal with registration matters but also utilize the self-service working center. Just like when you go to the bank, you've got an option of talking to the tellers, but recently, most of our transactions, we do them through our banking self-service centers in terms of your ATMs, your cell phone banking, etc. We are developing a cell phone app now that we are moving towards the first cohort, which is your majority of post level 1 educators. And we are saying, in fact, I was looking at what the Department of Health has just done and launched last week in terms of their mother whatever program where they are given cell phones to communicate with the clinics in terms of that. If your ordinary mothers can do it from their own villages, whatever, then we need to be encouraging teachers to be also doing the same with regard to that particular process. There are a number of issues that we observed when we were dealing with the sign-ups of principals throughout the country. Remember, these are the physical sessions where we went and interacted with all these principals and deputies across the country. One of the trends that we are picking up is that you will continue to have the majority of principals and deputy principals that are not trained or developed because they tend to send representatives instead of themselves coming to the session. When they are called for a particular area, it's an opportunity for them to say, put level one teacher or HOD, go and participate and attend. And because of that, it's continuing to create knowledge gap, it's continuing to create the variance of number of principals and deputy principals who are not signed up at the moment. And it's continuing to create a gap around policy and legislation issues and new initiatives that are coming into the system. So that's one area that we've identified, and we are following up all those principals and deputy principals who did not participate in the original sign-up and decided to send your push level one teachers and HUDs. And it's creating the confusion also around the system. There were also ICT-related matters. Remember, I said all the principals and deputy principals are signing up, and one of the things that we are doing is to give them username and password. We still have to go a long way in terms of making sure that our educators understand the purposes of some of this. And I'm not generalizing. I'm talking about principals and deputies that we work with, because most of them received this, but they either forgot about them, or they were lost, deleted, or they didn't even know what to do with them because of most of them not being used to using ICT gadgets for managing schools or even for teacher education matters. And this will delay the update of their information in the CPTD management information system, but we are again following them up so that we can do it manually. There were challenges around computer language, because if you are talking about them working on CPTD self-service, there are a number, we've got DVD that is explaining step by step in terms of what to do. But for them to understand some of the language that is related to ICT matters is a challenge, and hence the DVD came in handy in terms of trying to resolve that particular area. Again, we have very low levels of computer literacy, and I'm talking now amongst principals and deputies, not necessarily the entire teaching profession, because our focus was that on that particular area. And this is really a need around most of them. And you can imagine, if as a system we are trying to introduce e-learning in schools, we are trying to make sure that we have workbooks that are coming through electronic means and all that kind of, and then you've got the whole lot of your people who are managing schools who are not necessarily computer literacy becomes a problem. And that particular issue is also reflected in the needs analysis process that we've already done. And again, because of that, 85% of our principals and deputy principals signed up manually, which means we are still working on a paper-based system in terms of us coming back to the office, capturing the whole lot of information that is coming up from the provinces. But the positive thing also was that we were beginning to see provinces that are really investing in ICT, in teaching and learning, and also ICT in managing schools. For example, Western Cape, Gauteng, and Northern Cape. Western Cape in particular, all our principals, and I mean all, have managed to sign up electronically. And they are utilizing the portal 100% because they've got the capacity and the promises investing in that, followed by Gauteng and also Northern Cape. You will see in the graph that I will be reflecting at a later stage that the issue of aging management and leadership in schools is a reality that we are sitting with. The most of our principals and deputy principals are at the age bracket of 50 to 59. And you know that these days, when they turn 50, they start thinking about quitting the system. And that's the challenge that we are facing with. And secondly, for most of them, the second grouping will be 40 to 49. Again, I think you saw headlines last week or week before in terms of most of the teachers who are leaving the system in error because of financial issues and also because of them wanting to cash their pension funds. And that is the age bracket that is doing that. So we are sitting with a double problem of the ones that are thinking, I'm 50, what am I still doing in the system? And then for those who are between 40 and 49 who are really saying, I've got too many problems, and one of them is financial management or financial constraints, therefore I need to quit the system in order to get the money. But the interesting thing is that at a later stage they want to come back and continue with the process. Yeah, and because of this issue, most of them were saying, why develop if I'm about to retire? Why develop because I'm left with 5 years, I'm left with 4 years, etc., etc. So, this particular issue is impacting a lot on our variance that we are having with regard to the number of sign-ups and also the number of principals and deputy principals participating in different professional development events. Information gap and knowledge, in fact, I never knew this was a reality, and until I traveled throughout the country and interacted directly with the principals and deputy principals, the overwhelming majority of them have got serious policies, legislation, new educational initiatives, self-related matters, knowledge gap. And if you are having that particular gap and problem, it's coming back to what Enoch was saying earlier, that the rise and fall of our system and schools in particular lies on the principals and SMTs within the school. So it's one area that I think we picked up as we were busy with our principals and deputy principals, and we need to find ways of dealing with that. And also, I was beginning to say to myself, it really begins to explain why the majority of our SMTs are lacking authority, like you were saying earlier on, in terms of running the school, managing the school. Again, it collaborates with one of the things that I'm doing personally in terms of analyzing the cases, misconduct cases that we're getting from schools, from educators, from the community, from parents. One of the things that we're beginning to see is, because of this knowledge gap, your principals and deputies will send anything and everything that they feel is a challenge to them to face. There are a number of things that they can deal with at school level, but because of lack of knowledge on certain processes, resolutions, legislation, whatever, they keep on referring them, passing the buck to say, and it keep on creating a problem for us in terms of the number of cases that we need to deal with, even petty ones that are not necessarily supposed to be coming with to us. We had a culture of continuing professional development, non-existent. I think I've written this wrong. That culture is a problem, Chair. Especially, and I want to be open and frank, especially from our African schools and rural, most rural areas, which is going to be a challenge because most of our educators, they want to do professional development because there's something in it for them. That's why. But secondly, they want to do it because it must be coming from someone else and not themselves. And I always say to them, if they are professionals, and professionals by virtue of being professionals, professional development is inherent part of them being professionals. So it's one area that we need to be working on. And I was also one of the papers that I'm developing for this in terms of how do we revive the profession, the issues of teacher professionalization. How do we begin to make sure that educators own up to the profession and don't do things because they need to comply, because somebody is saying they must do it, but it might be out of their own way to say they must develop for the sake of developing. So this also impacts on linkages between them wanting to develop, to develop for purposes of monitoring what? And I think these are the issues that we are picking up from ICMS to MS to say, as long as there are no monitoring what or something incentive that is linked to development, for them, why do it? So they are not interested. And I was also listening, have you seen the Health Control Committee meeting that we are doing? Northern Cape indicating that they call workshops, they pay money, they do what, but you find a no-show case. You find, you plan for 2,000 educators, and out of that you've got less than even 200. And it becomes a wasteful expenditure because that culture of development is just one of the challenges that we need to deal with. And yeah, we also explained issues around knowledge of the CCTV system by principals and GCC principals, but I think largely it's because when we were piloting, we focused more on your post-level 1 educators, and also because when we call these sessions, they tend to send your post-level 1 teachers and HODs and not themselves. Again, there was misinformation and communication around, confusion around CCTV system and ICMS, and what we did with Mr. Karimula was to develop an ICMS CPTD pamphlet that was beginning to explain to the profession the process of identifying the needs and how you are supposed to respond to the needs through and how do you report those particular programs that you participated them in essays. And you kill two birds with one stone because the same programs that you participate in through for your ICMS purposes, you need to report to SAFE using the same information rather than duplicating the resources. Remember I said part of the process involves sign up, and we are busy incrementally creating a new team database. And the steps that are beginning to emerge from what we are capturing is that it's leading with regards to the number of principals and deputy principals, obviously followed by Eastern Cape and the rest. But it's interesting also to see in KZN you've got many principals and very few deputy principals, unlike if you look at Gauteng. It's understandable you've got too many rural schools, small schools in KZN as compared to other provinces. But you still have in KZN and Eastern Cape number of 18 principals and deputy principals, which I think as a system we need to find a way of dealing with them because it's continuing to destabilize the system. In terms of our sign-ups and variances, that the table is reflected as that again KZN leading. We had too many problems with Limpopo and Eastern Cape because of the administration issues and also budgets. And as a result, we were lagging behind, and you can see, in terms of the variances, the highest numbers are coming from the two provinces in particular. Then, the issue that I raised earlier on in terms of the aging leadership and management, like I said, if you check, in case that and you look at the red bar, you'll see that most of the, in fact, in all the provinces, most of our principals and deputy principals are within the 50 to 59 age cohort, and we are heading to another issue around this, and also followed by the ones that are between 40 to 49. And we were surprised to see that you've got the ones between the 24 to 28 age bracket serving as principals, and there are not too many. I'm following them up just to double check, validate, and make sure. Because I also need to understand what are some of the reasons to why. Are they, yes. But the sign up and they are. And in addition to that, we have 81 foreign teachers who are principals and deputy principals. And again, this is another group that I'm following up because I need to understand why would you have such a huge number. And I checked in terms of independent schools and because remember, since we work with both public and independent. And my assumption was that most of them are coming from independent schools, and I was looking at the data, it looks like I'm wrong. But I need to verify, but the biggest first issue for me would be, how did it happen that you have this kind of a situation in the country? But this is where we are. As usual, the majority of them are from Zimbabwe. They are in Gauteng. And, yeah, 64 of them from Zimbabwe and the rest from other countries. And most of them are in Gauteng. And this is, to a larger extent, if you check SACWA website, there's a book review that I was part of on migrant, the figures of migrant teachers. It's a very interesting publication, which is really beginning to agree with some of the things that I'm beginning to see in terms of the data on foreign teachers. Race is reflecting what's happening, the populations in provinces. Obviously, your African principals and deputies will be the majority, but again, because of the demographics of the country, is the opposite in Western Cape and Northern Cape, as expected. We are, like I've reported earlier on, we are currently busy with the HOD sign-ups. I won't be able to give analysis of HODs because we are still busy. We are at 19,888 out of the 46,000, but it's still work in progress. We'll be able to deal with that at a later stage. Participation in first 3 year CPTV cycle. I reported earlier on that principals and deputies started with their cycle from January. The first 3 year cycle will be from January 2014 to December 2016. They are participating, remember, in three different types of developmental activities. Remember, we have type one, which is your teacher initiated, where we are encouraging them to take responsibility for their own development, but also our goal is to make sure that they begin to take their professional growth plan from ITMS career. Instead of waiting on it and waiting for someone to do something about it, to what extent are they able to reflect, to respond to the needs that they've identified as individual teachers? But secondly, they need to participate in school-based professional development programs that are initiated by the schools. Again, we are saying, to what extent are HODs playing their role, like, you know, what you're saying, in terms of supporting, developing staff? To what extent are principals, deputy principals, taking their responsibility of making sure that the development support, mentoring, coaching at school level? In fact, when you talk about this, the principals and deputies, principals begin to say, is this what we're supposed to be doing? I mean, they want you to go back and keep on reminding them about their roles and responsibilities. PAM, what PAM says, they need you to go back to say, what does the ELRC resolution say? But these are the things that we keep on reminding them to say, these are the kind of things that you're supposed to be doing so that you can be in a position to support school, teachers at school level. And this is one of the reasons why there's no culture of professional development at school level. Because you have principals and deputy principals, the majority of them who do not understand why that is their responsibility. But you have HODs that are not necessarily trained in a particular learning area, and they are providing support in an area that is irrelevant to what they are trained on. In fact, one of the things that we are doing in terms of the HODs is to look at whether they are qualified in the area that they are teaching, that's one. But secondly, whether they are qualified in the learning area, subject level that they are heading as an HOD. And yeah, the research is interesting, and we're beginning to see various things. And lastly, they participate in the third type, which is externally initiated, and I think that's what Honorable Mukoni were asking earlier on, to say what's happening to external professional development activities, because you are seeing more of your one day to day workshops. And all those activities that are endorsed, where these approved providers are involved, that's where your externally initiated activities are coming from. Your providers for us is your non-provincial education departments, is your higher education institutions, the teacher unions, professional associations, NGOs, etc. facilities, obviously they earn 165 over the second or 3 years, they need to report to us May, June, and also October, November. And I've indicated that the first reporting cycle has come and gone, and I'm beginning to see the relationship between what they are getting from the department, their employer, whether it's independent or private, and also what state is beginning to receive in terms of their reporting. There's a correlation between that. If on the provisioning side there's nothing happening, it's going to reflect on the management side from state in terms of us managing the system, monitoring what's the uptake and all that. And I was saying to Enoch the other day, I'm doing the analysis for the first reporting, which is June. It's early days, but one of the things that I'm picking up is that actually it's not happening. Externally initiated. It's not happening at all with your principals and deputy principals. It might be because the focus of the system is more on your post level one and issues in terms of your content and all that. Leadership and management issues are sort of at the back of what the national priorities are. But also it might be because for them to, as individuals, to go and participate in type 3 activities, there are huge financial and cost implications. So as a result, you also have limited uptake on content subjects because, one, most of your principals are not teaching, even if they're supposed to teach. And secondly, because they are at leadership and management level, they don't see that as part of their responsibility. And it's raising a serious question in terms of who's managing curriculum at school then. If they are not dealing with instructional leadership issues, they are not dealing with those kind of issues. So those are the early days, but those are the issues that we are beginning to pick up, and there's more emphasis on your type 1 and type 2 in terms of what they are reporting at the moment. Just like the department, we are having school visits. We don't have the capacity that they have. We have our newly appointed state provincial coordinators, but we are having some discussions with them in terms of how do we collaborate in terms of when your moderators are going to school. Can we find a way of riding on them instead of having too many people going to school to look for more or less the same kind of information? We are using the professional development portfolio, by the way, just so you see that's reported currently, the principals and deputies. One of the things that we are doing is to follow them up. When we do school visits, we are checking, they are not checking in a sense of policy. We are monitoring what they reported against what they've reported in the professional development portfolio. Because the portfolio is there for them to do three things: plan for their development, participate in development, record development. But what is critical for me, recording, you can record anything. To what I'm explaining is that impacting on your own professional practice, your own professional competency. So the reflection part of that portfolio is critical for us. And we are hoping that by the end of the 3 year cycle, which is around end of 2016, we'll have the first 3 year impact study. Then the process in terms of how do they participate, the booklet that I've prepared is something that we developed for them as a teacher's guide. What we did, we took the ITMS process and tried to link it with our own CPTD management system process so that they can see that these things are integrated and linked at school level. Obviously, they go through a process of needs identification through ICMS process, but also we need to acknowledge that you have your ANA and NSC diagnostic reports that are coming from national, but we also need to make sure that we encourage them to have those diagnostic reports at school level, which is not happening because your national teacher will give you, yes, the national issues, but your specifics will be coming from the school level. So they need to take all those reports and make sure that they work on them. Issues around self-reflection, issues coming from misconduct cases, because one of the things that I'm picking up again from the analysis that I'm doing on misconduct cases coming from educators is that we keep on having one school with more than five teachers being reported to state for one case or two cases or three cases. We keep on having one educator with multiple of cases year after another. If we are having those kind of issues, yes, I agree, your ANA NSD are critical, but you also have ethical issues, behavioral issues that you were talking about that we need to take into account as well, in addition to some of these issues. These are the kind of things that are destabilizing the schools that are creating confusion and problems around school level. Then once they've developed their PGPs for ICMS, etc., they need to address those identified needs. For example, like I've indicated, for professional growth plan that they have, they need to use CPTD system type 1 professional development activities. And I'll show you what I mean by that. For the SIP, we are saying type 2 activities, which are school-based, will be more relevant for them. And the ones that are sent to the district for the district improvement plan and also your provincial and national need to be coming from your type 3, which is available in the state database. This is just an example of how we want them to participate, or how are they participating in the system for them to end point. This is type 1, which is just an example. You've got type 2, and also example of type 3, and at the end of the day, this is how points are with you. I'm going to rush through this now. And we are administering, we have administered the NIST identification questionnaire for principals and deputies, taking into account your ICMS performance standards, their roles and responsibilities, in order to strengthen the current systems that are available. And we managed to do it with 12,433 principals and deputy principals. We've analyzed that. We'll have a report. We are planning a seminar where we bring all the parties that are dealing with NIST identification processes, CETA, DBE stage, so that we can discuss some of the things. And the preliminary findings, it's very interesting to see across all the 9 provinces, except for Gauteng, you've got financial management as one of the key issues. And it's really beginning to explain why, from my side, why are we receiving a whole lot of cases for charging principals in particular and deputies for mismanaging school funds. That's one. But secondly, it's also explaining why we are having so many teachers wanting to quit the system. Issues of financial management, personal financial management, there are challenges to them. And some of the reasons are that as a system, maybe we are not assisting them a lot with regard to financial management. But also, the second one, providing leadership and monitoring and support. It's interesting that if they are having a challenge with regard to that one, you will continue to have a problem with school support, with school mentoring, with leadership, with coaching at school level. But then, look at Western Cape, you've got school discipline. It's really reflecting the fact that in Western Cape, we've got a whole lot of challenges around discipline issues on educators, on learners at school level. Again, if you check the report that we did on cases, you realize that in Western Cape in particular, their number one issue around misconduct cases is assault. And that begins to explain some of these issues. We've done it across all the provinces. Limpopo, we have a case for Limpopo. I think it's something that I said I need to discuss with the department, because knowledge of subjects taught by individuals is a challenge. And if you check, we had a question where we were asking all the principals and deputies when the last 12 months, if they participated in, this is Greater Sukuni District, if they participated in any professional development activity. Out of all the 5 districts in the province, you have the majority of them saying no. And we need to follow this up in terms of checking what are some of the reasons why, and also if you can check this, the next one, level of satisfaction, and I'm thinking this is one district is Greater Sukuni. satisfaction, those who responded yes, and overwhelming majority because they never experienced, they never participated in any development in the last 12 months. Obviously, they will not satisfy. Yeah, and the last one, I think you will be able to just go through it on your own around provider approval, is giving you an indication of who, how many, who's is involved, all the teacher unions, not all of them, four of them are have endorsement, sorry, approval status with the exception of NACHU, which we are taking at the moment. Your higher education institutions are on board, your provincial education departments, the ones that are reflected there, the ones that have submitted and endorsement, that's where we are. Yeah, and the areas that we are focusing on. I just want to touch quickly on the last one, Chair, to say we have a CEM Lekoja decision that is that took a decision on us refocusing our mandate in terms of our endorsement and approval so that we can focus on those key strategic areas that are identified there. We had a discussion with DDE, and this is the process that we want to follow in terms of making sure that the issues that you were raising on earlier on in terms of focusing on content, letters, your math, science, technology areas are taken into account. Thanks, sir, for asking.
The pity we are running out of time. It was quite interesting, really. I don't know when we can get that presentation, the whole of it. But while still there, I was very much interested towards the end when the teachers were asked on their participation on professional development, where you find that there are teachers who are saying they are not sure whether they are. You know, you sometimes get puzzled. Even better reflects even on the PGPs that you find with some of them, where really you find that a person cannot even say what's the area that she or he needs to be developed on, and I think it's one of the weaknesses that we have in the system, of which I don't know how are you planning to address it, but it's quite wanting the system, as to say you don't even know where to be developed. To our surprise, one day in the PGP, we also say my problem where I need to be developed is late coming. You know, you just see that he or she is not on to. On to what is there, it's giving to him for development. But let me not waste time. We only have very limited time now, honourable members. Just about 15 minutes for us to engage and question the presentation. Can I just note and okay, Mr. President, before I come to the honourable members, I'll give you the chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just a minute. To add to that detailed presentation, to inform the honourable members that SAIS has developed now an excellent working relationship with the Department of Education nationally. We meet regularly in trying to thrash out the limitations and the challenges and how we go forward. And I must say it's working very well, and we do get our funding from the department. But I think the model of that funding needs to be refined. At the moment, it's a little shaky because of the dynamics of Treasury. So we are going to request for the Ministry to consider a direct regular grant to us in terms of the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act of 2011, which can allow that. Chair, I just want to say that this whole business of continuing professional teacher development can rise or fall in terms of the provincial departments coming to the party. Now, Ella may have said, or the presentation has, so far we've only got about 500 programs approved, and that is far too few. And Enoch had already highlighted that the number of programs that are coming from the department are very few. Now, this is an area that we are going to have to deal with in our interaction with the nine departments and even with the ministry, because there is money from the skills levy that is sufficiently allocated to the nine provinces. And if we find that the provinces are having difficulties in submitting programs to us, then I think this we are going to stumble. That is a very important component of the whole business. With all the national departments' best intentions, if the provincial departments are not submitting programs to us, they're not subjecting themselves to the SAFE processes, and they are not using the total funding that is coming to them to provide for the professional development, because teachers will not really be able to pay for this. There are very few teachers that can afford to pay. And the provincial departments have the money, but it seems that that money is sometimes used for other purposes, not for the purpose that is there. So I'm appealing to honorable members to assist us to try to break that kind of what could become a logjam eventually. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much. Luckily, as of Friday, we are having a workshop with all the departments. One of the issues that we need to raise up is so that they can, this one can be discussed. Thank you for raising that. Honorable members, any questions, comments? I'll be very strict on time. Can you just stick to two, three questions, please? Ms. Honorable Kosa, Honorable Basson, Honorable Lovemore, Honorable Ngoni, Honorable Boshoff, and that other person.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is, she tried to touch in, but she just touched and gone. That was the aging type of it. What are you doing about it? Because most principal and deputies, to my knowledge, they are aging, really. Is this, are we not wasting resources? That I wanted to know. Are we not wasting resources? Why do we start from where we know that they are going out? Secondly, I wanted to know the relationship between the IQMS and CPTD. Also, maybe sometimes, you know, when you come with acronyms, tell us what is DH, Mrs. Dalton Shamalan, what is this CPTD, so that we'll be able to be in line with you when you are presenting to us. And lastly, you wanted three questions. You saying majority did sign up manually, and exactly you have to get that, because you see, majority of the schools are in deep rural areas. That is why we are experiencing such things. We will have to know that we are going to deal with that for a longer period. Yes. Teachers that we are having today, very few that are ready to learn with IT. Thank you very much.
Mine is on the HODs that do not perform well in their field. You know, sometimes it's the way posts are advertised. Posts sometimes are advertised that a science teacher, I'm a biology teacher, a life science teacher, then I get the post as an HOD or what. At the end, we are not fit with science, biology or life science. That's physical science. That's mathematics. And you have evaluated the question papers of these teachers coming to examination. And this educator, this person cannot do the work properly, cannot evaluate the papers. What can we do in such when developing now with CPTD that you are going to do? How are you going to develop an HOD who is managing a field on which he's not qualified for,
and has no background of the subject. And same as these principals, the appointment of those principals and deputies. You get an HOD or a principal who has never been exposed in a managerial level and gets the post because of being known or of what. Now, do you mean you are now going to do in this teacher development program the induction from being what administration and all those levels as it is? Coming to this aging, leaving the education because of different reasons. One of the reasons now that has come out recently is this rationalization of pension. And it's heavy. And that it needs to be addressed very soon or else we will be in problem. And secondly is the 37%. Those are the scarce skills teachers. They resign knowing that the following month they are going to be imposed. And it affects the appointment of the new young teachers because maybe they have no experience compared to this one that is very experienced on the subject. Lastly, Chairperson, disciplinary problems, cases. You know, the cases, they take long to be solved. And in so much that some of the educators they change the system, I mean the schools, because of running away, and that they are then they are scoffing because they have left these schools. They are no more. They performed this, and they took so long until this person gets a post in another school. Can't you devise some also safe help to get some strategies that problems should be at least be speed up, especially those of assault. There are many even that assault learners who have disciplinary problems and on the disciplinary process. It takes long to solve the problem of the because of the 7 days, of the 14 days, or what, until the learner leaves the system, but metric has done something big because the process is being prolonged. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. And that was a refreshing presentation. Thank you very much. Chair, teacher competency we know is a problem. I mean, it comes up often. It's something that there's no option of delay, there's no option of not addressing it. It has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed urgently. Now, I don't understand, and I'm asking you to help me understand, why we cannot make training and accredited training mandatory. In two ways, and I'm sure there are many other ways, but in two ways. My understanding is that there was a collective agreement, or is a collective agreement in place, which requires 80 hours of professional development a year. What has happened to that? So teachers must be required to go to professional development. It must be part of their assessment. If they don't do it, they must immediately enter some level, as we do on the same, our political party, for instance. We immediately go into incapacity proceedings if you don't comply. And then also, how are we allocating points for non-accredited training? How are we doing that? I mean, if you go on provincial training that has not been accredited, you cannot get points. Finished. Why are we allowing skills levy money to be spent on those on that training? I don't understand. So that's the first thing: is making everything about this program mandatory. Secondly, the relevance. And here I really am concerned about what was presented today. How is it possible? How is it possible that at this stage of the game you are having to re-look your program in order to look at and include more math, science, etc. We knew a long time ago that those were relevant areas and had to be included. How is it possible that that came out of the Lakhotla? I asked the question at one of our Pretoria gatherings about whether DBE was informing the training done by FAPE. The answer was yes. The focus must be on math, science, etc. Exactly what you're saying now is having to be your refocus, which is, I just find absolutely incredible. Thirdly, I just want to look very quickly at the actual catalogues. There are two catalogues. I don't understand why there are two, so maybe you can explain that. There are two catalogues of training that is available and that have been accredited. Now, I have a lot of problems. First of all, it doesn't indicate in the catalogue who the training is targeting. Is it targeting a principal? Is it targeting a head of department? Is it targeting a post-level one teacher? It doesn't indicate that. The description of the training is broad. Let me just read you a sentence. The activity is, this is now a summary of activity. The activity is well conceptualized and the purpose and outcomes are clearly spelled out. Well, sorry, what am I going to learn? It doesn't indicate in many cases where the training is being held. This particular one doesn't have any indication where the training is held. Doesn't indicate the cost either. So there are a lot of problems with this. I certainly wouldn't find these catalogues usable, so I wonder if you could just expand on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks once more, Mr. President. No? When there was this indication of 24 to 28 years being a principal, I started to look at my age and say, oh, that person who started this principalship finished at the age of 19. A teacher's diploma. Did not have experience and not just jump to the principal. Even at the age of 28. You see, on the issue of the foreign principal, I just said, oh, we have got scarce skills in South Africa, that we don't have principals, people who can be principals in South Africa. So wide as it is, you see, that you can take another person from another country to come and lead us here. So we must be checking on those issues. Then the question comes to the issue of this type 1 to type 3 on page 14 to 15. The three cycle of in the PD activities. You know, I have a bit of a concern when making an example on type 2, page 15, when we say wagong on annual basis, if a principal or whoever a school has had two SGB meetings, four SMT meetings per year, that person is going to have 10 points, which means the principal can stay the whole year without having a meeting, and then in November he holds the meetings in four consecutive days, then that person is. So there should be a system to check, because SMT meetings at SGP must be a continuous basis where we check that was there any progress, what was the plan. So you don't just say four meetings, three meetings, triple. So that becomes a problem. Yeah. So the other issue is the issue of, I have seen on the page 15, that a person who has completed a leadership management course also will get a 45 points. What happens after the 3-year cycle? After the person has got as many managerial diplomas as possible. So do you say that no, that person will automatically get the 50, the 40% going forward? And I'm happy, ma'am, on the district, yes, Kokona, yes, there are many teachers who have got honors degree. I think there are 128 and two masters. I did not get what is happening in the district. What qualifications do they have in the district, those teachers or district educators in the district? Because sometimes they are the cause for concern. A person who has got a mere 3-year diploma and has got no experience coming to a school to develop a person who has got a master's. You have got a master's and a lot of qualification and experience. What do we expect to gain from that person? I think it's a person.
Thank you. Honorable Professor. Madam Chair, thank you very much. Most of the questions have been answered. With regard to the 85% manually signed up, principals, etc., do we have the staff in place to capture these manual applications? And then with regard to the 4 out of 10 principals and deputy principals that have heard of the CPD, that is absolutely disturbing. Where do the challenges lie? And then I heard something about principals that do not teach. Who decides on that? And what are the reasons? Is there not an action place that a teacher, a principal has to teach a certain percentage per week or per day? If we could get clarity on that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I have a lot, but I'll ask one. With your absence in the provinces, you say you don't have offices. You only have one office in Pretoria. And I think you have got, or maybe the capacity that you have, is it enough? Are you in the position to service all these 9 provinces, looking at the amount of work that is there? And worse, when you are going to embark on the CPTD throughout the country, are you not being overstretched? Are there any plans of making sure that we find you in the provinces? What is the plan around your offices and your capacity? Briefly, so can you respond on those questions? You only have 5 minutes for the response.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Yes, it's true, we are overstretched. We only have at provincial level at the moment, we only have 9 newly appointed provincial coordinators. I mean, if you comparatively speaking, if you check the department, they've got 80 monitors and they are not able to reach all the schools. So it's one area that council is looking into in terms of coming up with a concept of provincial offices. So we will see to what extent we will be able to deal with that particular area. Right, you are right, because teacher development takes place at provincial level. If we need to monitor, support and all that, we need to be having capacity at provincial level. So that's one area that we will be dealing with. The issue of 85% manual sign-ups, we have, again, we still have capacity issues. Remember, we depend on the Department of Basic Education for CPTD funding. At the moment, we have 5 interns from the APT colleges who are assisting us with capturing that particular data. And because of capacity issues, it affects the turnaround time in terms of the speed in processing the manual sign-ups that are coming from the provinces. But also, the challenge also lies with provinces sitting with the form, wanting to, remember the provincial education departments are assisting us. They want to make sure that they finish. For example, KZN, they are almost done. They've got 11,000 HODs. They are at 8,000. They are not forwarding the forms to say until they are done. So when they come back to us, you find that you've got 40,000-50,000 forms that you need to deal with at a time. So it's one area that we Council needs to focus. I'm glad the CEO is listening, and also Councillor Ramza in another capacity. Yeah. And the 4 out of 10 who have never heard of the CPTD before. Yes. Remember, that was before we started orientating them. And I think, again, the gap from ourselves has been that the focus is, when we're dealing with a pilot, was more on your post level 1 educators. And also the fact that when you call them to the station, they send somebody else to represent them and not themselves coming to the station. That is why we are having that particular problem. We are looking, Honorable Nkoli, at having a framework for meetings. We've noticed that yet, and I've seen when they were started reporting. Remember, some of the things you can only begin to see when the actual implementation takes place. So that framework will assist us in terms of how do we define those meetings and all that. And remember, we also want them to reflect and report on those meetings in their own professional development because it's a monitoring tool for us when we go to do the school visit. Age, younger, and foreign teachers, yes, that's why I said I'm following them up, especially those 20-year-olds who are principals and deputy principals. many. They are not more than 30. So it's a nicer group to start with in terms of making follow-ups. Also, your following educators who are principals, we need to understand. It's one research project on your own that we begin we need to understand what happened in that area. The catalog, yes, I agree with you. It was our first experience, but remember, they have to access the CPTV self-service portal to see all those details that you want. Initially, we started with the catalog when the system was not ready for capturing the data for approved providers and also for endorsed activities. But if you go into the system as a principal, as an educator, log in and search, when it brings Elam Halani, you are able to see Elam Halani from which area, mode of delivery, which kind of areas of specialization is he focusing on. But I agree, when we work on the third, one will find a way of bringing in all those issues that you are raising. We have to, because remember, we do get applications, they go through a process of evaluation and endorsement, then we have a catalog for the first meeting. Then we go through the same exercise again when we have a second stage. So that is why you are teaching with the two different kinds of catalogs on the website. But if you go into the system, we'll be able to get all the information. I'm not sure whether from your own side is it a good way of dealing with it, because it will be expensive for us to keep on printing the same thing over and over again. We've done it specifically for those educators who cannot access the electronic system in particular. Issues around, we are not allocating points for non-endorsed activities. If it's not endorsed, educators will not earn points from it, even if they can participate in it. Because your question was saying, why allocate points on non-endorsed activities? We are not doing that. Not at all. So they can participate in it, but they cannot report it to SAIS for purposes of the CPTV management system and any points. Relevance of the program, yes, we have two criteria, fitness of purpose, which deals with relevant issues and fitness for purpose. And DDG and Enoch will be able to respond to this in terms of why CEM Lokoja decided to change focus at a later stage, because it was coming from that level. Competency issues, again, I think our colleagues from DBE will be able to assist us with that. The issue of district office-based educators, at the moment, remember the CPTV management system is for school-based educators only. So I'm not able to give you the profile of your office-based educators, because my focus is on school-based educators. But we may have to link up with the unit within the Department of Education that is dealing with district-supported district issues, so that we can be in a position to see the relevance. But also, there's been a huge outcry from the teacher unions in particular for us to move towards the process of amending the legislation, the National Policy Framework Teacher Education in particular, to incorporate the office-based educators. For the same reasons that we are raising to say, they are arguing that they are more qualified, much better resources than whatever should be supported by people without those kind of issues. SODs impose that they do not qualify for space and only play an advisory role in terms of some of these findings, sending them to the ministry so that the Department of Basic Education can begin to do something about that. And one of the reasons why I'm doing this exercise is to make sure that we advise the department, and also as stakeholders within the department find ways of addressing them. But yeah, I think that's one area that we are focusing on. But also, remember I said earlier on, we are trying to reposition space together with DDE in terms of issues of teacher formation, because like I admitted that we are not playing that role very well. And one of the things that we need to do is to begin moving towards that direction and take into account those kind of issues.
while you think, can I just make three quick points, Chair?
Okay.
One is that there was a question about the disciplinary processes taking too long. And it is an area that is definitely worrying SAFE as well. And we have developed a new method now. Just the other day we had a training workshop, training what we call SAFE officials, so that we are able to make sure that within a three-month cycle, all of these teachers who have been found guilty are out of the system. And also now we have adopted an approach to report matters to the police or even to ask the departments to suspend teachers on pay if they are a danger. So that is very much in our thoughts. And as the years go, you will see that from our side, we will have very short time for people to leave the profession if they are found guilty. The other is that that is a good question about the departments, and this is where the provincial departments, we need to have far more dialogue with them, are still going ahead offering to teachers programs that are not accredited by SAFE and do not have points. So in other words, we as partners are conflicting with each other, and we need to find some harmony there. The last point I wanted to make was the question about the prominence of the identified areas now, like maths, ICT, CAPS, and so on. SAFE's role is not to kind of provide. Our role is simply to consider the provisions that are being out there, that are being provided, and to allocate points to them. But now with this partnership with the department getting very much stronger, we are working with the department to do special advocacy, proactive work now to encourage and call for more programs and activities in those specialized areas. That is why you find that those three phases have now been added in, so that we support the department and work together to have targeted professional development. Thank you.
With the programs that you endorse, do we make to make a follow-up on monitoring them, as to say, is there a stage where you say you are deregistering that program? Okay.
Part of the monitoring and evaluation involves 5 visits, and we just done one last week for SAOU, the African Zone of Interini, at the University of Posh, in terms of one of the endorsements. So we have a way of getting feedback from the students, the participants themselves, but also go there, observe, and have our own evaluators kind of giving us recommendations. Shelf life of an endorsed activity, 3 years, but in the process, if we find that it's not of good quality and there are challenges with it, we remove it from the database. And just lastly, are we not wasting resources by starting with the principals who are aging? We believe in lifelong learning. And we cannot have in a system, whether you are retiring next week or next year, we cannot have in a system people who are not being developed because of age. And remember, it's not a waste. Even after, it's discrimination, yes, even after you're retired, we can still utilize you as in the system in terms of other processes, like we are doing in terms of the monitoring process. In beefing up our capacity at provincial level, we are using retired people. Yes, the manually signed up, Honorable Kosa was saying, it was expected. It's true. We knew when we went on the ground that this is going to come up, especially with your principals and deputies. We, despite the fact that we knew that it was going to happen, we need to start encouraging our principals and deputies. Housing is managing schools with iPads. One of the things that they are doing, all the principals, when they come into the school, first hour, they go into their iPads and provide HeroFit with the sense in terms of what's happening, absenteeism, number of teachers, etc. If you have one province, despite that you've got the same kind of profile doing it, why not do it with the rest? It's just a matter of changing mindsets, changing attitudes, and taking them slowly, ease them into some of these technological issues. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to indicate that the department is also strengthening its capacity to address
government professional teacher development. The unit is now up and running. There are three directors that have been appointed in the unit, and work is underway to ensure that before the end of this year, all senior phase subject advisors are trained on these priority areas. Because the problem is that ANA has been written, I think now is the third year, and issues coming out of the diagnostic reports are consistent to say this is what is the problem with our system. But still we have not been able to respond appropriately. And that's the context within which the CEM Lekota decision was made. It was not necessarily a refocus. It was a point of emphasis to say we've been having these reports that are showing us that this is the problem, but we have not been coming up with programs to respond. And that's what CEM was emphasizing. And that's why now we will be training subject advisors in the current financial year. We've got a three-year plan that we have put together to say subject advisors will be trained in the current year. Next year, we'll be targeting HODs and teachers for math and science, particularly in your senior phase, because that's where the critical problem is. And then in the third year, we'll be focusing on your grades 4 to 7. It will be a system-wide training, because the minister has emphasized the fact that we cannot continue to do short training programs that are not making an impact. The training must focus on the system-wide basis. And parallel to that, we'll also be focusing on training of SMTs to deal with the issues that are coming out of the six reports, so that we train all HODs on issues around curricular management and support, as well as issues of mental and support. So we are repositioning ourselves and strengthening our capacity with promises to respond effectively to some of these challenges. Regarding the profile, we do not have a profile of our office-based educators in terms of their qualifications. And that was the thing with like our math and science. Our HR section is now busy with the profiling. And the profiling will also include profiling of our office base, particularly your subject advisors, because we need to have information on what are their qualifications. And then, you know, so that we can know how to utilize them. Currently, that is one of the problem areas that we are still trying to do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I then give to Ms. Carol to sort of ask for
it? Yeah, I'm going to keep it very short, because I think my colleagues have responded to all those questions. But for myself, I just wanted to amplify one or two things and say that should there be anything that we've left unattended, we will still by the Secretary to be able to have that list shared with us of any outstanding matters and in fact to respond to that. But I also just wanted to add to, I think, the concern of what emerged from the CFO, which is very important, that it also looks beyond just the issue of the strengthening of the work that is being done around the new institute within the department, but also to look at assisting provinces and districts to assist schools to really fully implement and appropriately implement the rules of combination for subjects. The fact that in terms of especially math and science, that schools have opted for particular combinations that will weaken the access and the entry for learners into higher education learning and coursework. It's at that level that we feel we cannot allow learners at a disadvantage because there's a poor understanding of how subjects in combination will influence their access to a science degree or an actuarial degree or, you know, something that quite specifically requires mathematics and not
to mathematical literacy. We're having to contend with a real problem on the ground where schools are opting for these combinations inappropriately to influence a better set of outcomes. And we cannot condone that as department. And I think the commitment to the ministerial interpretation and responses to the ministerial committee recommendations will have to take us further. But that might be the business of another briefing where there will be an opportunity to share some of those concerns. And obviously, I think just in closure, we look forward to the workshop where I think a number of these matters, both case and other entities, will also be present. Where some of these matters that straddle the boundaries of either DBE or an entity and the difficulty that we have with provincial cooperation could be addressed, because we're hoping that all provinces have found themselves and that most of them, all of them, will be present at the meeting on Friday and Saturday. So whilst it's not a formal report back, a briefing platform, it does allow for the oversight issues to be shared and the concerns from a mutual state of interest to be addressed. And we look forward to that on such opportunities. So thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Carlos, and your delegation and the entity says. Really, it was a well informative session that we had. We had, though time was much against us, we didn't think it should take so long. But really, I think on the treaties that we had in our system, we're engaging on the very important one, that is the teacher, of which that is where we want to see the improvement. But by all means, and we hope through such deliberations and the planning that is there, we are going to see that improvement. Otherwise, I know we have been seated here for quite a long time. Members will be rushing, going back to the house at 2. Sorry for that, members. Can we just rush for lunch so that we are not late for the chamber at 2? Otherwise, thank you very much. So, honorable members, our minutes are piling. We thought we'll finish a little bit earlier so that we can pass our minutes. It's fine. Let us see, maybe next week we'll find time to do that. We have got quite a number of them, 6 minutes now, that we haven't looked at. Otherwise, honourable members, let's hope we'll see each other on Friday. When are we leaving, Mr. Brown? We are leaving on Thursday evening, up there general to Pretoria. So let us gear ourselves up for that, for such a Friday and Saturday. Thank you very much for meeting.
Yeah, I'm sure.